It's not a cartoon. It's anime.
Yes. Welcome to another episode of Animation. Let me tell you something, I ain't drinking enough water, man. My head is hurting after that scream.
You a little dizzy?
Yes, I'm dizzy,
I hear
bro.
You. I hear you.
My head is killing me after, just after that yell. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Animation. The squad is back in full effect. Mm-hmm. 4 for 4 like Wendy's, baby.
What?
Hey. Like, they don't sponsor us, bro. You can't.
Four for four like that burger plate with the girl with the red hair.
Yeah, no free pub.
No free pub. My bad.
Not to the end of the show when Rob
literally plugged somebody
right for free. All right, y'all, make sure y'all join that Patreon, patreon.com/animation, S-H-U-N. Join the squad. Listen to us talk beforehand. You get everything first. You get everything exclusive, stuff like that. Episodes are back on YouTube, though. You don't get that chunk of, you know, Patreon stuff, but you
watch
those
videos.
We did a nice
30 up front today.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we give you that, you get the visual still, but you missed that whole chunk, 30. We talked everything, sports, anime, everything up front. So you get to know us a little bit better.
Yeah.
In these streets. This episode, man, we got Rob, Brennan, Ice, back in this bitch, myself, Amir on the keys.
What up, Amir? That's my cousin right there, y'all. Hey, Amir, show your camera. Oh, wait, he didn't do the camera.
No.
We don't have a cam.
No, we don't have a cam. No, right. Amir cam.
Amir, come stand over here for a second.
Remember, Amir is who you thought Cam was.
Yeah.
Amir is who you thought.
That's always so funny to me. It's just like, I thought this is who Cam
was. This is my loving cousin, Amir. Hi, Amir. He's very talkative, as you can see.
I don't know anime stuff. Yes. Are we technically first? I don't fucking know. I say we are. Generationally,
we have to say
who
first.
How y'all related?
All right, so do you guys want to go?
Is this the double second cousin?
Okay, all right. You want me to try to do it? All right, I'm gonna do this as efficiently as I can. The best way to explain it is, who has siblings? You have siblings, right? Yeah. If you married my sister and had kids, and I married your sister and had kids, all of our kids would be called double first cousins because they have the same grandparents on both sides.
Yeah.
So that happened in our family. And because of the families were huge. So like 11 brothers and sisters on one side and like 9 on the other or some shit like that. So our family is insanely large. So that happened in our grandparents' generation. And so his dad and my dad are double first cousins. What happens after that? So double first cousins genetically are identical to being half siblings. So
really?
Yes. So my dad and his dad are genetically shared the same amount of genetics as half siblings. Because the double first cousins before them. That's what they call double first cousins. It's more than a first cousin. And so that means one generation removed from that, we share the same genetics as a first cousin. So Amir and I share the same amount of genetics as a first cousin typically would, but technically we're second cousins. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because my dad and his dad are first cousins, but double first cousins. So it's hard, when somebody asks us, like, how related are we? It's kind of a hard question to answer. The easiest answer is for us to say first cousins. And it's just like, all right, cool. Because our families are genuinely that close.
Right.
But genetically, we're that close, but technically, we're double second cousins.
You made my head
But
hurt
nobody
more.
Knows what the fuck
my
that means.
My head hurts more than it
makes sense.
It makes sense, but that's a lot, bro.
First of all, I never heard
of that.
Yeah, I mean, because it's common.
I didn't know the genetic thing.
Got you.
It's very uncommon.
Okay.
Very, very uncommon. Because, I mean, how often does, like two brothers be like, yo, look at them two sisters over there. I'm going to marry one, you marry one.
Yeah.
All right, cool. And that's what happened.
I mean, I thought about that before. I'm like, man, her sisters are bad.
I feel like that happened on a lot of, like, TV shows.
It happened on TV shows, but in real life, it's very unlikely.
Right, gotcha.
You know, so it did happen. And, yeah, man, our families are crazy close. And I'll even show you guys how crazy, like, our dads look like brothers.
Look alike.
Oh, shit.
They look a lot.
I think I have seen Amir grow up together? Picture of his dad before.
Yeah, you said what? But his dad is older than my dad, but they all lived in the same house at one point.
Mm.
But my dad had to be, like, very young.
Mm. I mean, how
do they see each other?
So look, that's my dad.
Yeah,
I'm 27.
27?
That's my dad. That's his dad.
Damn.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
Right?
Yeah.
Dude, Amir's dad looks hella young, bro.
I was just about to say that.
His dad runs, like, 30 miles a day, so.
Oh, my God.
He's got into biking, though, so that's what he does.
Jesus, looks like he's my age.
My dad is only
Your dad is
51.
How old is he?
51.
He look
young. Yeah, your dad is hella younger than really young. I know that, but his dad is one of those people that, like, knew his life plan from the moment he was born. You know those people that are just like, I know what I want, I know what I'm going to do? That's his dad. And his dad looked at my dad because my dad was the same way. So my dad was like, I think your dad looked up to my dad a lot.
Do they look at each other as brothers?
No, my dad kind of looks at him like their age difference is significant. Like my dad is 62 or 63, so my dad's like 11 or 12 years older than his dad.
Yeah, so it's almost like me and him.
Yeah, okay, like the difference between us is the same. So I wouldn't. I don't know. My dad already has four brothers. You know, or three brothers and a sister. And so he doesn't. I don't think he looks at him like that. But he looks at him like, this is my little cousin. That he like. My dad kind of looks out for him. Like, his dad is a huge Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and that's because my dad was a Steelers fan when he was younger. Oh, who he is no longer a Steelers fan.
Is it Lions?
Lions fan now. My dad was for a couple years as a Steelers fan, and that's when his dad was like, you know what? I'm with you, Zoe. Steelers fan, and now he's like the biggest Steelers fan ever. Even though my dad doesn't do that no more.
What's your dad's name?
Alonzo.
Oh, damn, that must suck.
I don't want to go into that story. Enough family stories. Let's get an anime.
Yeah, all right, man. You brought us here. You hit that before with me. I think you talked about it with me before. But yeah, it's a good... this week we'll be discussing Gurren Lagann, episodes 5 through 6, in My Hero Academia, 16 through 17. But first, like always, we have a poll. What do you got for us, Ice? Is it not pulled up? What's going on?
He had his text messages pulled up looking at you. He was like,
he don't know this is coming. I got a poll for you guys.
He was sending the dick pic, and then he's like, it's my turn.
Wait a minute. So it took him like 5 minutes last time. Rob had to stall for his ass.
I pulled up the wrong thing. I pulled up the wrong Google Drive sheet thing.
All right, but what's the poll?
The poll is, what is your favorite Super Saiyan form?
This is crazy. These results I was very surprised by.
So obviously we have 1 through 4, and then we have Super Saiyan God and Super Saiyan Blue. So coming in at ass last is the strongest one, Super Saiyan Blue.
Those Super Saiyan Crayola colors.
I agree. But just because of like the lack of creativity, it's just like, we're going to make you bigger, better, stronger. But literally the only difference is we're changing the color of your fucking hair. It's lazy. It's just, I don't like it. I'm just like,
would you want? Longer hair?
Well, I'm just saying, like, if you look at like all the other Super Saiyan shit, there's just different shit. Yeah, Super Saiyan 3.
What was longer about hair. 2?
2, you had fucking electricity around you.
Oh, God.
Dog, that don't count.
Okay, but that was weak too. That was strong. I'm saying that was weak too.
It only looked dope because Gohan did it. But when Goku and Vegeta go Super Saiyan 2, it was just
doesn't even matter anymore because Gohan already did it. But my point being is like, it's just not very creative. Okay. They could have done anything to change some kind of physical feature.
For sure.
You know, grow the tail back like 4. What I'm saying?
What's the next one?
Super Saiyan God came in at 5th.
They changed that. At least with that was red hair. The eyes looked bigger.
He got skinny.
He got skinny. Yeah. And he was like slimmer so he could be faster, more agile. That looked dope.
I like. Super Saiyan 2 came in at 4th place with 11%.
Yep.
Super Saiyan came in, the OG, number 1, came in at 13% at 3rd. Super Saiyan 3 came in at 2nd with 17%. And with a whopping 45%, damn near half of the vote, Super Saiyan 4.
And I defend that pick. And the reason I defend that pick is because of what I just said. Is when you see a character in any anime do a major transformation, you want to see a major change. And the biggest change that we see is literally the biggest change you can see is stacked physically up there. You know what I'm saying? Like Super Saiyan 3, like it goes Super Saiyan, Super Saiyan 3, Super Saiyan 4. Mm-hmm. Those are the three biggest changes we saw, 1, 2, 3.
That's fair. Okay.
That's what?
You said it's fair.
Take 2. That's fair. All right, so I guess we can just go through our the lines of our favorite. So what is your favorite?
Right in that order? Yeah, I like this order. This order works for me. I love the look of Super Saiyan 4. Now, I do not like GT. Mm. Let's just start with that. But the character design for Super Saiyan 4 I thought was incredible. Mm. Because the tail has been completely lost in all the rest of the forms of what is called a Saiyan, which is an entire race of people that have tails.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And whatever happened to Vegeta's tail? I don't even want to go into that.
Rob, what's your favorite?
4 is pretty good. It's a good choice. I obviously, like we talked about, like Gohan Super Saiyan 2, I thought was a cool look because like there was such a distinct change
for him,
in what he looked like. His regular Super Saiyan form when he first turned like looked kind of like he did when he was regular. So I really liked his Super Saiyan 2 upgrade. But you're right, like for everybody else, like Goku, like maybe a couple of other locks like got shifted, got pointed up. Vegeta, like. what are you going to do with that hair? Like, yeah. It's already all the way up, so there's nothing you could do. So, like, yeah, there's not really any noticeable change there. For Gohan, obviously, I like that. But the only one that I think for me, was kind of a surprise. I was surprised at how well-liked Super Saiyan 3 was, because to me, I think that design looks dumb. The no eyebrows, super long hair, I think looks stupid. And I don't think it looks cool or tough. I've just never really cared for the Super Saiyan 3 form, personally. So
Wow, you're shitting on Super Saiyan 3.
I am shitting on Super Saiyan 3. It's like, I can... Like, I might put it above, like, maybe the God and the Blue a little bit, just because, again, those are essentially forms we've already seen, just with different hair dye. At least it's a choice, you know what I mean? But I never really cared much for the look at all. I thought it looked dumb.
Me, out of all these, I'm gonna be real with you. I'm gonna go Super Saiyan God. I love when he turned into Super Saiyan God. The color, I like the color red, and then like I like how the eyes look. The eyes are bigger. He looked a little bit more anime-ish, to be honest with you. He looked younger.
He does look younger. I agree.
He looks a lot younger. He looks kind of more like an alien a little bit.
Way healthier.
Yeah, he looks
like the healthiest version of Super Saiyan.
Of the Saiyan. Yeah. And to me, I was like, I was so mad that they just pretty much shitted on that form and went straight to blue after that.
Yeah,
they didn't use that form for real
at all.
They wasted that fucking form, and that's what Dragon
they only
Ball
use it in a movie. Really?
And then I think Vegeta does it. Yeah, Vegeta does it.
He did it in Broly. Yeah,
and he does it in Broly.
Yeah, well, Goku also does it in the Tournament of Power. When he's fighting the two girls,
he starts
wax on, wax off shit to him.
Yeah.
Which is like one of my favorite moments, even in the Broly movie, when they're just like, take your energy, redirect.
And he actually does it against when he saves Hit. Because when Hit is actually getting smoked by Dispo, because he's speeding past and he saves Hit. He's a Super Saiyan God.
I love seeing that transformation when Vegeta did it when he was fighting Broly.
Yeah, because he kind of went up in the air and just twirled and then turned into fire. And that shit was dope.
One of my least favorite things about Dragon Ball Super is the power scaling. It's just like Hit was a monster during the whole thing, and then immediately he's just like a regular.
He killed Goku.
That's what I'm saying. He killed Goku, but then he's going to Tournament of Power, and Dispo's whooping his ass. I'm like, Dispo is a henchman.
I don't care if Dispo can run through because he's so fast. I don't care about that. Like
this motherfucker stops time.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? He's stopping time, and Dispo's like, "Well, I'm still faster than you." Like that doesn't even make sense.
That shit was whack. That shit was whack. What about you? What you got, Ice?
Fuck what Rob talking about. Super Saiyan 3 is hard. I thought Super Saiyan 3 was hard because I was talking.
It is.
It's fucking stupid.
It's the Super Saiyan 3 that we all drew as kids. Like, before we knew what Super Saiyan 3 was, we was like, oh, more hair, more hair, more hair. We drew it. It was cool. It's like fan fiction finally getting paid off.
Yes. Exactly what you're saying is a big reason why I don't like it. It looks like a 12-year-old with just like, what would be cool? More hair.
That's cool.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
And that's
I love Sonic the Hedgehog.
Everybody loves Sonic, bro. That's exactly.
Super Sonic Goku?
That's dope. And I think
the chat agrees with me. I see you out there. It sucks.
It was like, somebody said it look hella dumb.
I'm kind of on their side too. I would say Super Saiyan God, Super Saiyan 4, and Super Saiyan 3.
Super Saiyan 3 is just it was dope. I wish it would have lasted longer. I wish
there was more to it.
But I do think, and I think that's maybe more so why people thought
nobody has done anything cool as Super Saiyan 3.
Exactly, and I think
when Goku
transferred
Super Saiyan 3 the first time,
the first time, and that was it.
And I think
Janemba too.
Yeah. Yeah, the optics of Super Saiyan 3, I think, again, just as a kid growing up, drawing that so much, I just thought it was super cool to see that in real life. And it's like, they're listening. Granted, it was before when we was drawing, it was already made.
But we didn't know that.
So it's like, yes, they listen to what we're doing. And
Beerus gave respect to Super Saiyan 3. Remember a little bit.
Yeah,
when he went to Super Saiyan 3, he's like, oh, okay, yeah, I can see that.
But I think one of his best, Super Saiyan 3's best moments is against Janemba. When he fights, I don't know if you've seen that movie, but it's like...
No, I don't think I have seen Janemba.
Yeah, in the movie, they had a dope-ass moment when he fight him. Then they had to turn into, of course, Gogeta. But, like, I feel like that was one of the best Super Saiyan 3 moments.
Honestly, Gotenks Super Saiyan 3 is tight. Yeah. Gotenks Super Saiyan 3 was dope, and I enjoyed that. Super Ghost Kazakami attack, like, that was my shit.
I
didn't particularly like the... I didn't like how they...
No.
It made sense to me that you would have kids with this much power to have stupid ass attacks.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they were still stupid ass attacks.
They were. They were kiddie.
Very silly. Very silly. I loved it.
Cosmic donut.
Just like, man, just blow him away. Like.
All right. So let us know in the comment section and stuff what your favorite Super Saiyan form is. We want to know 1 through 4, God or Blue. And I mean, there's more now, to be honest with you. So there's Ultra Instinct. There's Ultra Ego.
You consider those... Like Super Saiyans?
Ultra Ego, maybe, but
Instinct
like,
is not.
Instinct, I guess, is second. No.
That's
not a Super
thing.
Saiyan.
That's not a Saiyan thing.
Anybody else can kind of get that.
Super Saiyan
But yeah. I guess Ego is technically Ego? a destroyer for him, to be
honest.
Ego
is like the peak destroyer. Yeah, I was going to say that.
It's
I don't think that's...
For him, so I wouldn't... I guess maybe not.
So yeah, I guess not.
It's essentially Beerus's
They're just doing god forms now. Like, gods.
You had, like, Vegeta's, like, what was it? His ultimate blue or whatever? Like, that's kind of the strongest blue
so form.
For is Kaioken better than any of these?
I love Kaioken when it first came out.
Kaioken was pretty cool at first, but I mean, eventually they stopped taking the time to even draw it.
I would take... I'll put Kaioken right under Super Saiyan 1.
They did?
In Tournament of Power, he's fighting Jiren, and then he's getting smoked out, and why don't you use Kaioken times 20 when
he's been doing it the whole time.
And he's like, he's been doing it this whole time, just getting whooped.
Yeah, because I remember they did the same thing when he was fighting Frieza, and they're like, and essentially the same thing. King Kai's just like, he's been doing it the whole time. Then they showed you the same scenes you had just been watching, but they put a little red around.
But remember, even Battle
As a
Gods,
kid, I was like, ah!
And Battle Gods, that was when he respected Goku, and he was like, all right, when he turned into, I think he did Kaioken times 20, he was just like, yo, I gotta respect this. This is kind of strong. I was actually gonna save this or something like that.
You talking about when the pre-tournament of power thing when he jumped up in the air and was like, bruh!
Yeah, he's like, I was gonna save this against you, Beerus. And he's just like, Beerus is like, what the fuck?
That was hilarious.
He's like, oh shit.
Beerus is like, whoa.
That's kind of strong.
I'm happy you didn't. Shit.
Yeah.
Beerus, I'm gonna go back to the gym after this shit.
Yeah, he definitely did.
Gotenks is in the ranks in the runner for hardest fusion. I agree with that.
Yeah, Gotenks? There's not very many of them. There's Goku and Vegeta, which is the hardest fusion, than them. Yeah. What else is there?
Tien got a fusion.
Trash.
When did he get a fusion?
He did it with Yamcha.
Yeah. Oh, he did?
Mm-hmm. Trash.
Oh. Yeah, it was garbage.
It's like the Namekian fusions.
Yeah, the Namekian fusions.
There should have definitely been a Gohan and Trunks one at some point.
Really?
There should have been. There should have been.
For what? You mean growing Gohan and Trunks?
I could see that. Because like Gotenks Future Trunks and, and
future
Gohan.
Future Trunks is what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that wouldn't have made no difference. That would have got washed.
They was getting washed. I guess
the androids? I don't think so.
Well, Gohan didn't have an arm either, so they don't think he could really do it.
He was fusing.
Man, just a nub?
Yeah, that would have been tough.
Gohan with the nub, bro? The earrings. Oh, that's hilarious. Oh, yeah, the earrings, yeah.
This is my last Dragon Ball question. Did they ever specify which one was stronger, Vegito or Gogeta?
Oh, I've seen
Vegito or whatever.
Vegito or Gogeta.
I always felt it was Vegito, but I don't know if there's a true answer.
I bet there is somewhere. Somebody must have it. I always assumed it was the earrings because at least at first when they introduced it, they said there's no going back.
Yeah.
So it was just like, this is the ultimate form because it's final.
It's a commitment.
Yeah.
And the earrings is Vegito.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can do the dance, but it only lasts, like, what? But they undid that with the more recent one, I think.
It's just up top, out the gate. This is, I guess, Korra? I guess.
Yeah, Korra. Yeah.
It says, while on surface, the two appear to be equal in footing, Gogeta is superior to Vegito for one very simple reason. Vegito has a power limit. The upside to this is that Gogeta can fight with all his power and even break through to his Super Saiyan Blue form without worrying about consequences.
So Gogeta is strong.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds like a whole lot of nothing, but
yeah I mean, all right.
That I have a higher ceiling, which makes me stronger, but you've never seen that ceiling, so
I'm familiar with ceiling. So I guess what they're saying is when they were fighting, when they were fighting the Trunks in the Trunks arc, the Goku Black arc. Remember when he turned Super Saiyan Blue and he got too strong? Yeah. He kind of blew apart and it was just like, oh shit, we can't even sustain this power because of whatever.
Oh, got it.
And then with Gogeta, he can just keep leveling up until whatever.
So then it is Gogeta then.
I guess so.
Yeah. That's whack. That's a whack reason why. That is a whack ass reason why.
Yeah.
All right, so let's jump into this, man. We're going to jump into Garen Lagann first. Thank you for that poll, Ice. Garen Lagann, episodes 5-6, recap, Rob, let's get it.
Yeah, so as the group makes their way across the desert, Kamina and Yoko realize that they haven't seen any gunmen for a while. Simon and Liron check the area, realize that the ground that they are standing on is much newer than the ground in the other areas. They soon find out why, as Kamina and Yoko fight inside of Gurren over the cramped space, causing it to fall over and start a giant cave-in. The group falls down a deep pit, find themselves in the middle of another underground colony. As they crawl out of their mech suit, they find a strange ancient gunman face waiting there for them. Kamina goes to investigate it, but is stopped by Rosiu, one of the colonists, who says that the face is the guardian deity of the colony. As they rest up later, Rosiu says that they must be visitors from the celestial lands on the surface, the paradise where they basically assume the gods live. Kamina thinks the whole thing is dumb, tries to explain they aren't holy messengers at all, gunmen aren't gods. Yoko scolds him for being rude, but soon changes their tune when Rosiu says, you're dressed pretty inappropriately, maybe you could throw on this robe to come cover up. As they talk, other colonists run in with the news that one of the others has given birth to triplets. Team Gurren Lagann figures this would be happy news, but everybody around them seems pretty shocked and sad. Rosio then goes to visit the high priest at the town, who says that they must stick to their laws and that they can only support 50 people, and so three kids brings their count to 52. Two people will have to be banished to the surface in their lottery ceremony, much like Rosio's mother once was. Later, Rosio explains that to the team that, you know, you may not understand our laws. Things have improved greatly since the high priest took over. However, when the high priest comes to meet them, Kamina gets in his face and tells him he doesn't like him, so the high priest asks him to leave. All alone, Rosio is left with the god face and sees a hidden lever in its nose. He pulls it and reveals the gunman's cockpit. Kamina and Simon encourage him to investigate it, but the high priest arrives and tells him, hey, it's against our faith to disturb the face god. Kamina confronts the chief again, but Rosio continues to listen to his leader. The village gathers for the lottery drawing, and two young orphans, Gimmy and Derry, pull the short sticks. However, they see the banishment to the surface as a blessing, since their faith says that it's paradise. Beginning to question his faith, though, Rosio asks Team Gurren Lagann to take the kids with them to keep them safe on the surface. Kamina refuses, saying, hey, your colony is deranged for banishing children to, like, the most dangerous place they could. And a fight breaks out between the two groups, but it's put aside when another gunman falls through the roof and starts causing destruction. Team Gurren Lagann jumps to action, but struggle to hold the gunman back from trampling the colonists. However, the face god has powered on, piloted by the high priest. He pummels the gunman and charges it, knocking it down a huge waterfall. He nearly falls himself, but Gurren Lagann reaches over the edge and saves him. Still, the high priest asks them to leave their village in peace. That night, Rosio confronts the high priest about his crisis of faith, realizing the high priest rigged the lottery for the two kids to get picked because they're orphans. They have no family. He asks if his mother was also chosen in a rigged system, but the priest insists, the laws work! And they keep this colony alive, so quit asking all these questions. The sacrifices are for the greater good, and he doesn't regret the choices that he's made at all. In the end, Rosio decides to accompany Gimmy and Derry on their journey to the surface, and the three of them join up with Team Gurren Lagann. The priest asks Rosio to take their holy book with him as comfort. He's like, well, I don't really believe in the religion anymore, and on top of that, I can't read. And the priest is just like, huh, that's funny, me neither, but maybe this book will bring you some comfort. With that, the three young colonists join Team Gurren Lagann and head off for adventures on the surface. And it's not long before they find some, as Yoko is complaining about how bad everybody smells while they're cramped inside Gurren Lagann. More gunmen appear. And with all their practice and training, Simon, Kamina, and Yoko make short work of their opponents, and the last one tries to escape. They chase after, but soon lose it when a thick fog appears, and it's not long before they find a mysterious old man. And they ask him where the gunman went. He points off and somewhere into the distance. They take him with him, and he directs them to a bathhouse where there's no sign of the gunman, but the group is happy to take a break. Inside, the matron of the bathhouse is happy to welcome them, introduces them to her staff of young women, which the boys of the group greatly enjoy, except for Rosio, who is suspicious of the whole place. Yoko and Liron agree at first, but when a huge meal is rolled out, they change their tune and enjoy the comforts. And it turns out they are not the only guests either. As they eat dinner, the sisters from the Black Siblings appear, having been led there by the same strange man while their brother was handling another mission. They're happy to be reunited with Kamina, but are split up again when it's time to bathe in the hot springs, while Rosio snoops around to confirm his suspicions. Simon and Kamina talk about how far they've come since leaving the colony, dream about what could be next. Kamina literally wants to shoot for the moon, and visit there next. However, when they talk, they realize, hey, the girl's side of the hot spring is suspiciously quiet, and just then the bathhouse comes to life and turns out to be a giant gunman, with the matron being revealed as a nocturnal wolf beast man. She has taken all of the girls hostage, and even worse, when Simon and Kamina rush to their mechs, they find that Gurren has been snatched up by the gunman they chase through the fog. Luckily, Rosio fall from the bathhouse and onto the gunman, and as it's transported away, he is able to get inside of Gurren. So Simon runs with Lagann, while Kamina tries to sneak back into the bathhouse. Yoko frees the other girls from their cage with a gun she had tucked away somewhere, and swears revenge on the beastmen. She and the sisters, along with Kamina, beat up the beastmen inside the gunmen and sabotage the engine room. Simon drills into the engine room, and they pile in to make their escape. Outside, they find Rosio has been piloting Gurren back and defeated the kidnapper gunman. They quickly combine their mechs, and Kamina hits the bathhouse gunman with a huge slash, defeating it once and for all. As the sun rises, their relief turns to dread as another gunman crashes to the earth and Viral emerges, promising revenge for his earlier defeat. And that's where we end episodes 5 and 6 of Gurren Lagann.
All right. Thank you, Rob. Recap, as always. Man. Appreciate that. That was quick. Quick and easy, man. I appreciate that.
Second episode was mostly a recap.
Yep.
So. Yeah.
I don't even know where we're at time-wise for this episode, because that's not the right time for the whole episode, right? Is it?
We're probably at about
20 minutes. Okay, yeah, 20. Cool. All right, so let's jump into these questions, man. First question. Is the Gurren Lagann team growing too fast? Do you think Rosio has been a good addition, Rob?
To me, I was a little surprised to see them adding more people on, especially Rosio, because it doesn't feel like I've gotten to know the main three cast very well yet.
Right.
And like, as I was kind of thinking about it, I'm like, Simon, from what I understood, at least the way it's been pitched, seems to be like the protagonist. But based on these last several episodes, I'm like, I don't remember really spending any time with him. Like, it feels like it's been way more Kamina's show, him and Yoko kind of playing off each other. And now adding this new person in, it feels like he fades even further into the background.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, he could have been sort of like a voice of reason type character. But now Rosio is here, and he's just more like, I'm going to examine this. I'm going to look at this. I can see where he may develop to be more of a useful character. But for them to add in another character that doesn't pilot their own gunman, the fact that, like, he didn't... I thought they were going to be like, hey, take the Godhead with you.
Right.
Yeah.
Take this the literal, like, symbol of our faith with you to protect you.
Right.
And I was like, okay, cool. Like, the team's going to keep growing. Yeah. They're going to keep building on these mech things, and that didn't happen. So for me, so far, I'm a little bit scratching my head of what does he add to the team. And I'm just, I don't see it yet.
Yeah. What about you, Brennan?
I mean, I will say, you know, obviously I've already seen the show.
Yeah, you have the benefit of knowing where
I have the benefit
going.
Of future sight. But the only thing I'll say is that you make a good point. Part of the point that you made, I'm not going to tell you which part, is going to come back in a really, really powerful way.
Okay.
That is really what makes the show for me as a whole.
The head.
Yeah, the head. The head wins. But I'll say that's a really big deal. You hit on something there that is going to really change your perception of this show. That's all I'm going to say. But I do agree with your perception of where you are with it right now.
Yeah. Yeah, as of right now, I don't really care for him. Like, I don't really care for him. There's not many characters I really even care about for real, for real. So I feel like you said, why add somebody else and I don't really love anybody yet?
Right.
And now you gotta add another person. It's like, oh, gosh, Jesus. There's another person.
You don't love anybody yet?
Love anybody on the show?
Why, who's your favorite character right now?
If I had to choose... It would be what's her name? The girl's name?
Yoko.
It'll be her right now.
Anybody else honorable mentions?
I mean, Kamina, I guess.
Kamina.
Yeah. He would be honorable mention. He gets annoying at times, but it's like he's a necessary evil in that sense for this show. But I feel like she's pretty cool because, you know, she's pulling out the strap on Cass, blasting Cass.
I mean, he's intense, but he ride a lot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And then I mean, maybe even the little. What's the little pork hamster or whatever? just silly.
The mole pig or whatever.
Bull pig, whatever. Yeah.
Which I didn't really talk about him much, but how is he
alive?
How is he clinging on to Kamina's?
Because Kamina keeps talking about eating him.
He keeps talking about eating him, but like when they were in the bathhouse, he picked up that thing and was just like, I gotta keep my genitals warm. And then somehow that thing just stuck to his downstairs.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
I was like, what is he
holding on? How is he holding on?
How is he? Yeah, right.
Oh!
Like,
Brennan just opened his mouth, so he's saying pretty
I was
much.
Like, what is happening?
The hamster thing is like doming Kamina the whole time. Just
I love that you had to like compute how you were going to say that.
Oh, and I still didn't say it in a good way.
Right? I was like, this is by far the wildest thing.
What are your two favorite characters right now, Rob?
I would agree with Keenan, honestly, that my favorite characters right now are Yoko and probably Kamina.
Okay.
Like in that order.
Because Simon, I don't care about him right now.
I wish they had done more past the second episode.
Right.
To make, because I feel like after the second episode, when I think they combined for the first time, he's really taken a backseat. And I'm sure that'll change at some point.
Yeah, for sure.
But, like, so far he's kind of just been hanging out. Like, chilling with Leron. Not doing a whole lot. Leron's actually pretty cool. I forgot about him.
You actually might end up...
That's the tech person?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's cool. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I like Leron, too.
Yeah, Leron, so...
Yeah.
But you, Ice, since you just dipped out.
I don't know if you know.
Is Garen Logan's team growing too fast, or do you think Rasul has been a good addition?
I mean, it makes sense in the story. Like, in my initial time watching it, I never felt that way. I think it's not like they just throwing people when they're just going and grabbing them. It's like it felt organic, and it felt like, you know, they served a purpose in the story. So, no.
Okay.
Right.
Next.
Now. Yeah. I don't give a fuck about it. Yeah, why? It's going to be another character on the next episode. And the next episode will be like nine motherfuckers on this show.
I mean, but most animes and most shows, period, especially if it's team-up shows, they spend the first chunk adding to the team. So I think that's just kind of like that.
I guess I feel like some of the other shows have done a better job in like giving these people something for me to grab onto with these characters.
The stuff with the preacher and all that wasn't nothing to grab onto?
It was okay.
It felt repetitive a little bit from the beginning of their story, and which is why he said they were similar. I mean, it was a little bit more culty, I guess, but like, yeah. All right, next question. Would Kamina be a great sensei for Mob Ice?
I think he would. I think that's when I see Kamina, I think a lot of Reagan. I think it's just like a different version of him. I think
that actually has hands.
That actually has hands. That actually can whoop ass. I think what he would bring to Mob would be like that confidence that it took Mob, if he ever really got it in those three seasons. But I think towards the end he kind of got it somewhat. But I think he would have got that confidence a lot quicker because Kamina just wouldn't have gone for it. Like, I think Reagan kind of let Mob grow a little bit, which is, in a sense, Kamina's not giving Simon that room to grow. He's just like, hey, you need to, shit is real now. I need you to be that guy now. Mm-hmm. So I think he would have really invested in Mob and kind of forced him to be a dog out the gate. So I think he would have been a great sensei for Mob.
I agree with you just because I feel like he's actually a better teacher than Reagan in a sense, because Reagan was essentially manipulating Mob the whole time until then he started to kind of learn some stuff. But for the most part, like you said, Kamina would have been out the gate being like, yo, you're this strong, you fucking do it. Like, let's train, let's do whatever. You gotta start using your powers and fighting motherfuckers. Like, don't be afraid.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like Reagan's just kind of like, oh, well, let me use Mob to get some money real quick. You know what I'm saying? It was not really teaching him probably even to strengthen himself or anything like that.
Yeah.
Rob?
I mean, I tend to agree with you. I was kind of just trying to wrap my mind around it. And, like, how could it have been? Is there a way that he would be bad for him? Because I agree that, like, whereas Reagan fed him a lot of bullshit throughout their relationship, like, Kamina would have been just straight up with him the whole time.
Yeah.
Just
just
be you. Just do your thing. Like, that's all he's about. He's not about, like, you know, hiding anything at all.
Mm.
So in that way, I think he would have been really good for Mob, because eventually that's kind of where Mob got to.
Yeah.
But I do wonder if you're just like, because, like, what I do like about what Reagan sort of taught Mob is, like, the idea of your powers will make you better than anybody else. And I'm like, would Kamina have given him that same lesson?
No.
I don't know about that.
No, definitely not. Kamina would be like, you got the power, use it, crush them all.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're better and stronger than them.
You're better, you're stronger, you're the best, you're part of Team Gurren, we out here.
Well, yeah,
that's true.
He certainly would. So in that regard, I think he would not have been as good for Mob as Reagan was. But at the same time, I think he would have... He certainly would have gotten him somewhere faster. It would not have been the same show.
He would have shot a shot at Homegirl season one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What about you, Brennan?
You guys summed it up pretty good. I don't think I have anything to add
to add to that.
All right, so next question. And right now, from what I've seen anyway, from a couple of moves that I've seen from Gurren Lagann, they have some weird, at least in the dub version, some kind of, it's not weird, but like this long extra.
Gurren Tingen Toppa.
Yeah, just silly names like that. I even looked the name up, and one of the names says... Where's it at? It says, I've got the best wife in the universe swing. Mm. Like, that's a ridiculous name for a move.
That's Rob's move.
That's it.
My wife's engaged, you son of a bitch. Ah! Yeah! So, the question...
Did he make any sense? My wife's engaged?
I mean, yeah. Well, I'm engaged. Shut up, Brennan.
I was going to let him have it.
You know what? My thing is, you knew what I meant.
I was gonna let him have it.
I started thinking, like, should I just let that go? Like, no, that didn't make sense.
You're a petty motherfucker, so you're not gonna let it go. Of course,
I wanted to though.
So, what would be a Gurren Lagann move of yours? What would the name be? Just whatever, something silly. I don't know. Just off like hobby, telling stories, my personality. Just be like, I'm gonna punch you in your bitch ass lips. Right hook. That'll be a funny name that I would be saying to people. Is I'll put you in your bitch ass slip right hook and just sock somebody out. Now they know it's coming.
Yeah. They will know it.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter, man. That's the funness of this show.
Yeah.
What about you, Brennan?
Breaking my leg off in your ass.
Breaking my leg off in your ass. How would you say it?
Kind of like that. Break my leg off in your ass.
What was the last part?
In your ass.
Either foot? Huh? Is it either foot?
It's always the right foot.
It's always the right foot?
Always the right foot.
All right. Ice. And how would you say it?
I don't know.
Your ass about to go in the trash, you piece of trash.
Swing.
And you just go lowball it at the end?
Yeah, just like swing.
It sounds like it's like,
ding. Yeah, swing. It is.
Swing.
Yeah, send your ass up out of here.
You had a certain level of energy, then you're like, swing.
I got tired. This name was too long. Rob?
It'd be the fully deserved punch that you had coming the whole time. Uppercut! Pow!
I'm surprised it wasn't pow, 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 pow.
Exactly 11 pows. Because, you know, Rob's very exact when she's like, pow, 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 pow. I don't know, just a fun, just whatever question for me. I just thought that was silly. All right. last question of this. Do you feel like, you know, they had like a middle of the show? I mean, it's like from like, yeah, kind of like a middle.
It just came at a weird spot.
In a weird spot of the show.
Dick facing the moon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a weird, and the recap just happened. Do you think, you know, recap episodes are ever even needed? And how would you, how are they ever even useful, Brennan?
I have never once seen a recap episode in any anime I've ever watched, which a lot of anime do it. That make me like, man, I'm so happy I watched that. Mm-hmm. The only time that I can imagine that a recap episode would be helpful is if you did it, let's say, like every 150 episodes for, I don't know, One Piece. You know, so you can just watch those episodes as the recap episodes to be able to get caught up. Yeah. Instead of watching 150 episodes, you can watch 20. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever. Instead of watching 1,000 episodes, you can watch 20 or 30 and give you the recap of all the things that happen over the course of the entire season. Mm. That is the only time that I can imagine it. But it's just like, you know, just the stupidity of like, how many episodes are we in right now?
We're like five and six.
Yeah, it was episode five. This was episode six.
Episode six to give us a recap?
Yeah.
Like, what?
And this season is not 12 episodes, is it?
Season 20 is 24.
Bro.
That's what I'm saying. It's like six episodes in, you're giving me a recap. Like, I was just there. Yeah. You know? So for me, that greatly upsets me in almost any anime. It just makes, for me, it makes me feel like we have lazy writers. That the budget, you know, pretty much the budget, like this is a way that they meet the amount of episodes they're supposed to get with the budget that they had. Mm. They're like, okay, cool, we're gonna have two recap episodes in here, so we know we're not gonna have to spend much money on those episodes.
Yeah,
you know, and they're like, well, let's try to make it interesting, and that's what they did on this episode.
I guess just to add to your point, I wonder, is this the point when you said, because I think we talked about it last time when they said the animators had to switch around this time.
Yeah,
they switched around these episodes. They were using every animator for different episodes. I think
they at least for episode four they used a different animator if it was like a different studio or somebody else. But like, because Cam I know looked it up and was just like, essentially they were so unhappy with how it turned out that they were just like, we're not doing that again. And I don't blame them because I thought episode four looked bad.
So I feel like they, for this particular recap, might have been just fluff. Like, all right, we need time to get even our shit together again after that bullshit episode.
Yep. Yeah.
And let's we got to take a little break in this in a sense. But I'm with you. I don't think there's ever been, I think if you're doing maybe a, if you're ever going to give me a recap episode or even a half recap episode, that episode needs to be extended to me. So if you're going to give me part, if you're going to, that has to be a 45-minute episode if we're normally half-hour shows. So, like, if you're giving me a recap of season one for and season two, it's, like, 10 minutes of season two, and then you're giving me another 25 minutes of brand-new shit in that episode of season two for that first episode.
Right.
Other than that, I don't give a fuck. Like, there's no point for it.
Yeah.
Rob?
Generally, I agree. That the recap episodes are not needed, certainly not this early. And like, I remember in Samurai Champloo, it's like they have a recap episode. It's like there's 12 episodes.
Yeah.
You don't need a recap. There have been a couple times I think that it has been like, oh, this was a good choice. Death Note, I think has a recap episode about halfway through, which I appreciated if only because there's so many like minor details that it helps remind, like, here's what's important and what we'll bring back up.
And that aspect, to close it out. Yeah.
So in that, like, that's one that I remember appreciating. And obviously, we're going to talk about the show in a bit. But My Hero in this last season, we covered it the last time we talked about My Hero. But the kind of the recap episode they did after the fight with the heroes and the villains, which I know we could talk a little bit about now because Ice is, if not all the way caught up.
Caught up all the way.
So like, there were like 13, 14 episodes of just straight gas, like, where it was like, I don't even know what's happening, what's like, where everybody fell out, like, what happened to the people, like, there were, I mean, because part of those episodes, that episode where they were kind of recapping essentially how things got to where they were and how the fight went, was like, I was finding out, like, oh, so-and-so died. Yeah. I didn't even know that. Or they were kind of just running through, like, just the idea of what, they ran through the action of what happened, which after all that shit, I was like, oh my God, like, I forgot about that. Like, even hearing you talk about, like, this is happening right now, I'm like, I forgot that happened.
Yeah.
There's been so much going on. So even though that's, like, a single season, like, it's within the season, it's halfway through the season, it was 13 episodes of so much shit happening that it was kind of nice to get that right. Here's what happened and how it affected everybody.
You know what's funny? I was like, I remember I asked him, I was like, who do you think the snitches for My Hero?
Yes.
And he was like, oh, I think it's this person. And then she's dead.
Yeah. She's dead now.
She's yeah. dead.
I'm just letting you know. No spoiler, but it's not her.
No.
Yeah, because I remember you were talking, like, we were here, and like gave his guess, and you're like, that's a pretty good guess. And I was trying not to like look at you to be like, is it?
That would be an asshole.
Died, I'm like,
that would be an asshole. That's all that was.
Is she coming back? I'm like, damn. All right. I was like, well, that makes sense if she
he's
dies.
Like, he's like, yeah, man.
And then come back.
That like, would be a surprise.
Yeah.
Nah,
so I was like,
that would be a surprise.
If she did it, yeah.
From what I know, I don't see her back. She's out of here.
As far as I know.
She got dog walk, and that's the fuck it.
Damn.
All right, go ahead, Ice.
I would say it's not needed, but it is going to be needed for this third part, fourth, fifth, sixth part of Attack on Titan.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what somebody said it in the comment section.
Agreed. Somebody said that?
Yeah.
That is going to be needed. I don't really... All that shit that's happening with Attack on Titan, just to get us up to speed... yeah, I think that's about the only time that is possible.
I won't be mad at that. But like I said, I would need that first episode to be an hour then. Sure.
I would also, too, yeah. I would say just take out the intro of that episode. Like, no intro. We've seen it before. We sure. know the intro. It's Fair. A good 2 minutes, depending on which one it is. The intro got fucking spoilers in it anyway.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Take the intro out, give us that recap, and then give us the full episode then. I think that's the only space that it'll be needed. But we don't need it midway through an episode. With the dig out to the moon. I'm good. I'm all right.
I would understand it more if we were halfway through Gurren Lagann. But like you said, episode 5, 6,
you
or whatever it was, it's like, bro, what the fuck are you talking about?
Why
man?
You don't need it?
I agree with Brent. It's hella lazy. All right, so let's give our likes and dislikes and our scores for this. Gurren Lagann. I guess I'll let you guys kind of go last since y'all kind of already know this stuff. I'll go first, and then I'll let Rob Lee go off. I mean, you know what? This show is starting to... for me, it's just whatever to me. I don't. If we wasn't watching it on the show, I don't think I would be really locked in for real. Like I gotta watch Gurren Lagann this week. I gotta watch the next 2 or 3 episodes. It's just like it has moments, but like I'm just like there's no stakes for real as of right now. I'm guessing there's going to be stakes later on.
Viral pulled up right at the end.
Viral pulled up at the end, yes.
Yeah, but still, I mean, I feel like it's just, I don't really care for it. If any of them died right now, but like, all right, I'm cool. Like, I'm not sure about anybody dying on the show yet. You know what I'm saying? I don't love anybody yet.
And you think if anybody died, you'd like the show more?
Right now, I'm not saying that. I like you said, like Rob was saying, like they have an attachment to any really character for real. So it's just like for us, I'm watching. It's like you introduce somebody else. It's like, dog, I'm still trying to get to like these motherfuckers before I can even be locked in for real. Mm. So these two episodes were whatever. I'm not a fan of that recap. That turned me off a lot. You know, they brought the other characters back in, the sisters and the dude or whatever the case may be. I'm guessing this dude's gonna be the main villain, but. I don't really care for him either right now as an antagonist. I guess maybe something else will happen to make me care of why all this stuff is even happening, what's really going on in the surface world. But at these two episodes, I really didn't really give a shit about. I'm gonna give it a 5100, and I mean, I'm hoping the show gets better. Rob,
I mean, I can't say too much more than that. I got to be honest with you. Right now, I'm kind of in a very similar place with the show. I know just based off of like what Ice and Brennan have said about this show that I have faith that it will pick up because I know that I've been just told things about the show. I'm trying not to look at them right now because I can see them looking at each other.
I'm looking at you, Ice. I'm just sorry.
I wasn't trying to look
at you. You wasn't going
to
look at me?
No.
But like, see, that's what I'm saying where I'm like, I feel like something will happen where it turns. I'll be like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I'm interested now. Mm-hmm. So far, that has not happened. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I was even getting at with my question about, like, is this team growing too fast? Just because I agree. I'm not really attached to any of these people. And, like, as cool as Yoko is, like, honestly, like, all the tits out shit is pretty cringe to me. Like, a lot of that stuff is, like, it feels like they're going for low-hanging fruit. When the show, at times...
Wait, was that a pun?
Yeah, there you go. But the show is genuinely funny at times. Like, and that, I think, is its strong point, where it can be fun to watch. And I think Kamina and Yoko are a big part of that.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that, like, every time they combine, the fucking drill comes down and, like, just barely, like, doesn't kill Kamina is hilarious to me. That's really fun. But, like...
And he doesn't even move. He doesn't even look up.
At all.
Like,
yeah.
Or even,
you know,
like,
because somebody else is in the seat and it came and he was like, ah!
Yeah, he comes in butt ass naked and he's like, you want me to get out of here? He's like, no, you're fine. No time for that now. Like, so there's funny moments. It's just not there yet. And I obviously I'm in, like, I've heard a lot of good things, but I'm with Keenan where, like, if I were watching the show on my own right now, I probably would not continue.
If we went took it to a vote right now, would you say no to keep watching or yes to keep watching?
I'm saying no.
I would say no probably, but really? Like, if it were just,
and they didn't know about what we know. Yeah. They didn't know. We were sitting over here. Like,
I'm 100% with Rob. I'm only even somewhat being like, all right, it's probably it. Probably around episode 10 to 12, some shit gonna start popping off or something like that. But other than that, it's because of y'all. It's cause, like, that's why I'm here. It's literally because of you guys.
Your recommendation.
Yeah, yeah.
So far, the show is just whatever.
I agree.
Yeah. I had it in my head before you said your score. I said I was gonna say 5,200. So 5,200 to step up because that episode 4 was bad.
Yeah.
But 5 and 6, the quality of the animation was better, but still it was only like 1.5 episodes. Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, I can't really say too much.
Right.
Just give a score.
Yeah. I think this stretch of episodes with the recap really hurt it. 5,700.
Yeah. Right.
I actually really enjoyed the episode that put us underground with this priest that was like, the story, that story, like this, like that self-contained episode to me was really good because it's a play at human nature.
Sure.
You know, and it's like that episode, you can pull so many random things out of that episode that are just so meaningful. Like that he had those children selected, that there were these orphans that were being raised, how they consider these face things to be a god, what they do to get us to judgment. You know, it's like, it's really playing at the idea of what religion really is. Mm-hmm. And so for me, like the deep undertones of what that episode is raises what we just experienced to me, even just as a standalone episode. Obviously episode 6 was horrible, but episode 5 to me means a lot. And just to me, like, and I was like, I feel like the writers really did their thing on that episode.
Mm-hmm. That is not a bad episode. Yeah.
Yeah. If you just think about it from beginning to end, like how they ended up there, it's a self-contained episode outside of, you know, gaining more members of the, of their group. Mm-hmm. But like that episode to me was just really good. Like I remember watching it, I was just like, they doing some shit in this. And like, if you like, obviously watching the second time, you have different type of eyes for it. Mm. But for me specifically, like every single fucking word that comes out of Kamina's mouth to that priest is real as fuck.
Yeah.
And he is like, not only is it real as fuck, like he's pointing out the fallacies. He's speaking the truth to him and the truth to everybody around him. And he wants to smoke in every moment. He's just like, no, like I disagree with you and I would rather die than like than just go along with your bullshit. Yeah. Cause I don't go along with bullshit. This is bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, everybody around him is like, stop, don't do that. Let respect their shit. He's like, no, this is bullshit. Mm. Doesn't matter where it is. A rose that has any other name still smells the same. And this smells like bullshit.
Yeah,
that's what Kamina was doing that whole episode. And for me, I was like, I respect that.
Kamina's a stand-up dude, man.
Yeah. So that for me raises it up. I would actually say, but at the same time, I completely understand where you guys are coming from because the taste in my mouth after watching that 6th episode, because the thing is, I remember I skipped episode 6. As soon as I saw that they started doing a recap, I was just like, I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. I do that every time. I don't care what else you might, minuscule things that you might be adding to this series. If I got to come back to it, I'll come back to it. But for now, you're doing recaps. And there was like, I even did it when we watched it just now. I was like, oh, this is the whole parts of recap. I just looked at things, just scrolled.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I'm not watching a recap.
Yeah.
For me, I'm gonna go in with a 5,500.
Hearing what they're saying, you still stand on your own Gurren Lagann?
Oh yeah. I mean, because we know what's gonna happen. I
know you knowing what's happening. Were you standing on it throughout the way, through and through?
Yeah. No,
let me ask you this question.
I think they're gonna enjoy it.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna say, I'm gonna ask you. Do you think we're gonna be like? They're gonna be like, yeah.
This isn't the best anime we've ever seen. So let's dispel all rumors about that.
True. Gotcha. True.
But is it worth watching? Is it good? Is it going to give us good conversation? 100%.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. I have no question in my mind about that.
Yeah, feel like you're not going to be like.
Yeah, we're going to get to it. There's going to be points of this show where we're going to be like, well, let's have some real fucking conversations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the reason why we recommended it is because I was having internal conversations about this show when I was watching it, like some deep ass shit. And so like, I think that episode that I was just speaking to, the one about the religion and all that kind of stuff, that is like just
that's
the tip of the iceberg of like
okay.
the kind of things that you can expect.
Okay.
So that's for me. That's why I think that episode is more significant than you know watching it the first time.
Okay. All right. So is that?
I'd agree 100%. I think
the funny thing is I didn't even realize all that until you guys asked me what I thought. Like that just came out of me. I'm like, wow, I feel that shit. Yeah.
Yeah, me and Rob right now ain't buying it. It seems like
no. I mean, I'm like I have to.
We'll
see.
Well, yeah. Do you see my point on that one episode though?
Well, if it's gonna, because I mean, if it goes anywhere in the lane of
what
like
would you rate
Iron
that
Blood Orphans?
No, if you just rate that single episode, Like, fuck the sixth episode. We know it's a recap episode. That's going to kill everything. For me, I don't think it's fair to rate a whole show.
I might give it like a 7,200.
That makes a lot more sense to me. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe that episode like a 7.
Okay, 7, that makes a lot more sense. True. And I get that you're dropping everything down because you give the recap episode at 1,000.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? At least I would. Yeah. I fucking, like, for me, I'm like negative 1,000 for a recap episode. Yeah. So. Yeah.
All right. I agree. Gurren Lagann is done for. All right. My Hero Academia's episode.
It's not done for as in we're not going to keep watching.
Yeah, right. We're going to keep finishing it.
Yeah.
That's. My Hero episode 16 through 17. Rob, recap. Let's get it.
Yeah. So in a flashback, we see Hawks as a child. He talks about his rough upbringing and how heroes always seemed like something distant to him, as he would see All Might and Endeavor stopping villains while he was suffering at home. His father was a runaway villain on the lam who beat him savagely, and his mother was a mostly just detached, and she was just detached and out of it most of the time. That all changed one day when Endeavor finally caught and arrested his father, and heroes became real to him. Unfortunately, it also made his mother think that they had to go on the run. They were soon living in a subway station. Hawks urged his mother to go to the police for help, but she refused. Hawks' life changed again when he helped save some people from an accident using his feathers, and the government recruited him to become a spy for them. As part of the deal, they offered to pay his mother's living expenses and change his name so essentially that he could hide his true identity. In the present, we see Hawks is still badly burned from his fight with Dobby, only able to communicate using text-to-speech on his phone. Still, he continues working as a hero and teams up with Best Genius to help tackle the villains that have escaped from prison. However, even after Genius easily stops a group of villains, the crowd turns on them, and they can tell that the goodwill that they built up over the years with the public has just disappeared overnight. Next, they visit Hawk's mom's government-provided house, and they find that it is empty except for a letter that she left saying, you know, strange men came asking about him. She had to give them the information they wanted to save herself, but afterwards she just ran off to go into hiding.
Fucking snitch.
Is there anybody in My Hero right now, I mean ever, that reminds you of Hawks, how he look right now?
Maybe a little bit of like All For One, like in that he's kind of got like the big like mask get up. He's kind of got like a Vader look to him, which I know All For One kind of has.
There's one more person that we saw. He not canon.
I can't say it because I'm looking at it.
Oh, you're talking, was it Nines or whatever? Yeah.
I thought of Nine when I saw him. I was like, hey, he kind of looks like Nine.
I didn't at all until you brought it out.
That's a fair point. No, I didn't think about that.
Hawks looks dope like this.
He does.
He does.
He does. But he thinks about, how all this time, you know, everything that came to be because he abandoned his mother without a second thought when he was a child and had the chance for a shot at life without her. Around the city, the situation for the hero is getting worse. Citizens are taking law into their own hands when attacked by villains using their quirks and support items with little to no training, hurting themselves and others and making the situation totally worse in the process. Heroes are ridiculed in the streets and more of them just start quitting. Potentially worst of all, Stain has made it back to one of his safe houses and his eyes turn red as he draws his sword once again. At the hospital, Endeavor is a complete wreck, thinking about how he, you know, when he learned Dobby's true identity as his son, he froze up. Even when Best Genius tried to help him in the public eye, the people are furious with Endeavor after the revelations of Dobby's video and demand answers. He thinks it may be time for him to hang it all up, but just then his family arrives at the hospital room, including his long-estranged wife, Ray, hoping to settle their differences. From here, we get another flashback to the day Endeavor and Ray met. She came from a powerful family, but they had fallen on hard times, and so they accepted Endeavor's request to marry her with the goal of, you know, the goal in mind of creating the perfect superhero with their offspring. Though the marriage was arranged, she tried to keep it a happy home, and things were good at first. Endeavor trained their firstborn, Toya, to become a hero, to surpass All Might, and found that his flames were even stronger than his. Toya loved training, but the things turned kind of sour when the doctor gave them the rough news that Toya's flames were too hot for his body. His body was more inclined towards his mother's cold quirks, so he was burning himself worse and worse as he trained. He warned Endeavor not to let Toya use his flames, and so the training had to stop. Endeavor tasked Ray with watching over Toya, making sure he didn't use his powers, and while he continued his hero work, he just stopped interacting with Toya, which left the boy hurt and confused. They continued having kids to try and make the perfect hero that would surpass All Might, but when Shota was born, Toya had a jealous outburst, insisting that he was still there and able to become a powerful hero. Endeavor made it worse by not only separating himself from his family, but now also taking Shota away from them in a misguided attempt to make Toya less jealous. Toya took out his anger on Rei and kept training to make his flames hotter, eventually turning them blue. When Endeavor discovered the burn marks on his body, he took out his anger on Rei for not watching him enough and beat her. The amount of stress and anger pointed her way proved to be too much for Ray, and she had a mental breakdown, burning Shoto's eye with hot tea when she caught him staring at her. The night that she was taken to the hospital to be institutionalized, Toya went out to the woods hoping to lure his father out there, show him the fruits of his training. However, when Endeavor didn't show up, his emotions and powers got out of control, and he said it blazed that he just couldn't stop, burning the woods and himself so badly that everybody just assumed he died in the fire. In the present, the family admits you know, they all could have done things differently to help save Toya before he lost his mind and became Dobby. They promise Endeavor that he will not have to face this challenge on his own, and that they will all work together to stop their son and brother and hopefully save him. The sweet moment is interrupted when Hawks and Best Genius enter, having heard the whole conversation. They update them on the situation, how the villains are at large with 10,000 other prison escapees and 7 near high-end Nomus. And the public may not like them, but they need heroes more than ever, and the top 3 heroes agree to team up, take the villains down, and we see that Hawks' wings are starting to grow back. The first step they realize is finding out what the hell One For All is after hearing Shigaraki mention it during the fight. Endeavor thinks back on Deku saying Shigaraki was after him and realizes he must know something about it, making them even more suspicious of the fact that All Might is sitting by Deku's bed and keeping a close eye on him. As they head to ask him what the story is, All Might talks to a slumbering Deku, realizing he must be meeting with the other former wielders in the psychic realm of One For All. And that is where we end episodes 16 and 17 of My Hero Academia Season 6.
Thank you for that recap, Rob. And sorry for that interruption.
God, Ice.
Hey, oh, my God.
You know what's fucked up? Somebody called him Stephen Hawking.
Oh, no.
Oh, Stephen Hawking.
That's fucked up. Well, who is that?
Petals. Oh, my God. Oh,
this is the first time I've seen Petals in here, I think. Or at least maybe one of the first times I've ever seen Petals in here.
Oh,
you
my
wild
God. Stephen Hawking. That's fucked up.
From a comedian, I mean, I love a dark, good joke, man. I just do. I'm sorry. It's fucked up, but it's funny. All right, so first question from My Hero Academia after these episode 15 and 16. Is Dobby's villain origin story justified, Ice?
No. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no. I understand why they say that they shared the burden, but before Endeavor kind of went insane, he stopped him. He said, hey, don't do this. Like, he tried to stop him, and he just... I think it's. I understand it's kind of a shared responsibility because he put a lot of pressure on Dobby as a kid to make him feel like he had to do, like, be that. But Endeavor also did a good job of, like, saying, hey, man, I'm sorry that I put this pressure on you, but at the same time, I'm acknowledging that you're not built for this because of your quirk is hurting you. And I'm telling you on multiple occasions to stop this, and you're trying to find creative ways to do this, and you're hiding it from me, but I've been on record on multiple occasions to tell you to stop, and you don't stop. So I don't think it's really justified, because if he would have listened, he wouldn't have been in this position. I think when Endeavor kind of went off the deep end and all the stuff that happened after that, I think all of the other siblings have more of a villain origin story than Dobby himself. And I know it's like if you would have went up to the forest with me, that wouldn't have happened. But he told your ass not to go to the forest, and he told your ass not to play with fire well before then. Yeah. So it just feels like a whiny kid that kind of didn't listen, and now he hurt himself because he didn't listen, and now I want my dad to pay because I didn't listen.
I agree with you a little bit with that part, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what you're saying when your actions show something different. Everything that your actions show is that, yo, I still want to be better than this person that I told you you're going to be better than. I'm fighting against his number one hero, in a sense, and All Might. So everything he's seeing on TV is his dad being like, he wants to be better than him. I'm going to do it. I'm going to help. I'm going to get past. I'm going to be the one that dad wanted to be better than All Might. And if you're seeing this all the time on TV, I think for a kid, they're so impressionable. It doesn't really matter how much you're saying to them. It's like he's locked in. So it's like, I think that's where it can kind of get tough for Dobby in that sense, where it's like I kind of feel like it's somewhat justified. I can see what you're saying too. But I still think it's somewhat justified in that sense. And I do think his siblings, if they would have probably did a better job taking him under their wing more and being like a brother and sister to him, just like, all right, let's do these things and like let's bring your powers along slow then, instead of just having you go super quick with these powers, then he probably would be like, all right, cool. But you pretty much said, like, you can't even be a hero. Like, he's like, bro, I can't do none of this shit. Like, I want to do this shit still. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine if you're a kid and you have powers, and then your dad did that to you, and then you're just like, well, you can't be a hero no more, son. He's like, my goal is to be a hero. Like, I want to be a hero.
Yeah.
And you're pretty much being like, stop. And then you're doing all this shit against that. It's just like, I get it. I don't know if it's super strong enough, but I get it.
I feel like that rebellion needs to stop at some point when it's physically hurting you and you're not even. I think it's kind of.
Was he hurt though? Like he was showing marks, but was he actually hurt?
I mean, yes. Band-aids and stuff like that. Yeah, he was hurt.
Physically, he was hurt.
Yeah, he was hurt.
He's mentally tough, but he's still hurt.
But I think only thing I think the biggest role that Endeavor plays in this, from a hurting him standpoint, is he may have, and Dobby even said it himself, he may have been able to help him contain his fire better or make it go down. Mm-hmm. But again, if I'm telling you to stop, and I think for Dobby, as Dobby wasn't doing it in the front yard, he was going off and doing it and hiding it. So Endeavor didn't know that he was still doing it.
Mm.
So
I think neglect is a hell of a drug. When you start to neglect your kid after you put him on a pedestal, that can fuck him up.
That's true,
a lot.
Too. Yeah.
Brennan?
I think what makes this such a good story is that it's easy to be able to stand on any side of the fence here. Yeah. Because on one side of it, if you're looking at it through why Dobby's upset, is what you said, you know. But at the same, like what you guys were just saying, like what you just said, Keenan, is that, you know, he was abandoned by, he was, you know, neglected by his dad, or he felt that he was neglected by his father, when in reality what his father was doing was everything he could to protect him.
Yeah.
And on the other side of it, Endeavor's like, I did everything I can to protect you. You know, like I wanted this for you more than you wanted it for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I wanted this for you more than I wanted anything for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so you felt that. You understand that. But on the other side of it, like, how many fucking career choices did I go through as a kid? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was like, I wanted to be a jet pilot. I got a roller coaster. I was like, I'm not going to be a jet pilot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I wanted to be a marine biologist. It was like, you're not going to be around
too.
People. It's like, all right, well, fuck that. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, I think Dobby's being a little bit more of a like a crybaby. Like he's kind of being like a crybaby. Like he looks at himself like he's like, I was being strong. My dad just didn't see my strength, when his dad is the one who was trying to show him what strength was.
Mm-hmm.
His strength is making the right choice for you and your family. And so he said, the thing is, it's like if they didn't have scenes in there where Endeavor was like literally like kneeling in front of him and explaining to him every single thing. You know what I'm saying? Like it's not like Endeavor was just like, F you, you suck.
Yeah.
Endeavor sat down and looked with him and was like, man, like this is why. Like, we can't do this. Here's why. Here's why. Now, the biggest fault that I give Endeavor is that he stopped spending time with his son.
Yeah.
That is the real issue here. Mm. That is the real problem. But that isn't like, okay, dad completely abandoned me, which he didn't, because if he had completely abandoned him, he still wouldn't be in the same fucking house.
He was there a lot more than I anticipated.
He was there a lot.
How they made the story in the beginning when Todoroki hated him.
Yeah.
Well, I guess they both named Todoroki, but
Shoto hated him.
Mm-hmm. I thought he just came in, socked out Rei, and then left. Like,
that's
how they made it.
Did you say the punch was justified?
No. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Why would you even ask that question, Keenan?
Don't do that.
Wow, Keenan.
Get the fuck.
I wouldn't even do that to Ice, bro.
Yeah, man. Come on,
I'm just saying what a check.
You're calling the wrong person names.
Yeah.
He's coming for you for real.
That's some whole ass shit, man.
Wow, Keenan.
Do me like that.
No, but just to finish really quick, I was going to say that I think that Endeavor not spending time with his son, which he still did spend time with him, and having to do the separation for Shoto, which he had to do because he, like, the fire that he lit in that his first son was something he could not extinguish.
Mm-hmm.
Like you see, it's almost like a playoff of words. It's like, I can't extinguish your flame. You know, it's like, neither can you.
Yeah,
you know, so it wasn't, I don't put the full blame on Endeavor the same way his family is like, this isn't all on you.
Mm.
You know, but like what Endeavor did for Toya, what's the youngest one?
Shoto.
What he did for Shoto, he's like, I have to separate you because he had to.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If I'm gonna train you as a hero, this is a different world.
Yeah.
You know, but I still love the rest of you guys. I'm still supporting you. He's still around. You know, it's like, but I can't do it. So I think that everybody was wrong, in my opinion. Everybody. The mom was wrong, you know, for the way that she approached it. I think Endeavor was wrong for how he neglected his children the way he shouldn't have. I think the siblings were wrong for that they held up these appearances of things that didn't help anybody.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I think everybody in the family is wrong, and that's why I actually really enjoyed that episode, is because it felt like everybody was holding themselves accountable, and they were saying Endeavor was holding himself too accountable, which I actually agreed with.
Yeah. Rob?
I mean, listen, you guys have laid out a lot of what
I would
say.
We know how much you hate Endeavor.
And here's the thing. Where I would take some points... Where I would say, I agree with you, Brennan, and what I think everybody said on some level, where everybody here is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that where I think Endeavor fucked up with this, because I do think he had good intentions.
Yes.
And, you know, this is a situation where, you know, the road to hell is
I thought he
intentions.
Had bad intentions. That's what this whole way they set him up this whole time.
Right.
I always thought he
initially.
Had bad intentions.
Yeah. I think, and so where he fucked up is like not, where he fucked up was he... made Toya feel as though his love for him was conditional.
Yes.
And not unconditional. And that, like, you only value me because of what I can be for you.
Right.
Yeah.
And the fact that, and one of the things I kind of disagree with that you did say, Brennan, was he was saying, like, Endeavor saying, like, I wanted this more for you than I wanted it for me. I disagree with that. He wanted it so bad for Toya because he wanted it for him.
Yeah.
Because he knew he would never be All Might, so he had to put it on his kids to be All Might.
Right. Yeah.
And that was something that he wanted, not necessarily something Dobby wanted, or Toya. Toya wanted his dad to be there for him and love him.
Like all kids.
And like all kids. Yeah. And so I can see why Endeavor made some of the choices he made, but they were the wrong choices.
Yeah.
I think he needed, yes, he was around more than I think we suspected, but I think what we also saw with Toya sitting next to his sister, they spent, it seems like, probably more time watching their dad on TV than they did spending actual time with him.
Yeah.
And like, he did explain to him, this is why we can't do that. But again, he is a child.
Yeah.
And so this felt like, so that's when I, like, was he being a crybaby? Yes, but I think that's because he's modeled himself after Endeavor, who is kind of being a fucking crybaby about not being better than All Might.
Yeah, that was that was outlandish. I think, too, to your
Endeavor's
point,
so
is like
too, so.
Being conditional as a dad that has, you know, a kid in sports, and it's like his trajectory is farther than mine. Even though I went D1, I never played professional football, and I never went to the Olympics. So, like, his trajectory is in maybe going to be there, but, like, if one day he say, like, I'm done with it, I'm going to be like, why? And if he gives, like, if he has a justifiable reason, like, hey, I want to go be the best fucking robotics person ever, or I want to be this, okay, cool, but you better go hard in that. Like, if he's okay with it, then I'll back up. I'm going to be hurt. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be hurt because that's something I love, but I would love to see him play on Sundays. But I always tell him before every football game or track meet, I was like, no matter what happens, I'm going to be proud of you.
Yeah.
So I think that's, as a parent, that's something that you have to tell your kids. And he didn't get that. He didn't get that, like, hey, if you're not a hero, you'll be okay. You're still Toya, my son.
A lot of it was that Will, like, why don't he want me kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why don't he want me, man?
You know,
the hell with him!
And I guess
I think you're telling the truth to your son, though.
What do you mean?
Because if he did something super dishonorable and disrespectful, like, would you be proud of him for that? Like, if he got
saying no
matter
he how,
lost.
I'm no
saying matter
he how
loses,
you perform.
He loses and just goes over to the other team and just smacks him. He's like, you fucking cheater, blah, blah, blah. Fucking ref,
I think
you still proud of him? I know what you're talking about.
Like,
I know what you mean. I'm just being a
10 catches, 0 catches. Right. I'm still proud of him.
No matter how you perform. But
I guess it's like that last part of it. Just like, I think I just kind of said it, but it was just like, I think the main thing with Endeavor, why it is a big problem is that, like you said, I would have kept him on me. So, all right, he's having these issues. He's not listening. Now I got to keep you either close to me, or I'm gonna train you on my off time to see, like, how you said, to kind of contain your flames.
Yeah.
And if
bullshit that he turned to Rain with just like, all right, you handle him while you also raise our other daughter and our other son.
Yep. Yeah.
That's fucked
up.
But
I got time for Shoto over here. And just like, yo.
He's like, but here's all the money you need.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But then at the end of the day, it's like, you see why he's so jealous of Shoto. It's just like, it makes you had the time. So when you had the perfect kid. So you had the time to do this with even all your kids, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine being Todoroki? You just, like, the whole time, everybody, all this shit happened before you realize anything's happening. You're like, hi, everybody. There's like, man, shut the fuck up.
Your older brother tried to kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
as
fucked
a baby.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, yeah, I mean, and
he could have, too.
Yeah, he would have got him up out of here.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, one of the interesting things that we haven't necessarily touched on here too is, like, with these kids, like, they have to look at their own existence and be like, I'm a fucking experiment. Like, I'm something that they essentially tried to cook up in a lab.
Yeah. We didn't come out of love. There's no love here from probably either parent.
I think it's kind of like when athletes find another girl that's 6 foot.
Lonzo Ball, LaMelo Ball. Like, the Ball kids are all that.
But I'm saying, though, at least what we see from LeVar, and, you know, I look at LeVar and Tina now when she went through her stroke and stuff like that, how he took care of her.
But I'm saying, like, he originally was just like, you're tall, you're athletic.
No, he said, you're bad, you're tall and athletic. So there was something there.
No, for sure. Yeah. But I'm saying,
this was,
like,
an arranged marriage.
Him,
like, yo, we're poor. Could you help us out?
I mean, even for Endeavor, he was like, I mean, you're attractive, but, and you also have all the attributes I want. Pull up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I agree with what you're saying to an extent, but I think that happens a lot more commonly than you would, you know, like what he was saying. Like, athletes happen all the time.
For sure. Yeah.
But it's just, like, another level to Dobby's, like, the reason, like, I'm fucked up is because you tried to play God and you gave me some powers I can't even fucking use.
Yeah.
I just, the biggest thing
for this.
The biggest thing for me, I'm like, if Dobby would have just grown a pair, Like, and I know that sounds fine. Really terrible.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, I think that, like, if you would have taken the personality of Deku and put it in the body of Dobby, there would be no problems. You know what I'm saying? He'd be really sad. You know, I'm just saying, because, like, Dobby, like, it's like, oh, I really want to do this. Like, but I'm hurting myself and hurting others when I do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I think I think Dobby takes blame too, is my point. I'm not saying everything you say is still valid, but for me, what Dobby has done because of it is not valid.
I think it just comes down to who the care that somebody takes. Somebody's made a tweet, and I'm not agreeing with it, but somebody made a tweet that said, Bronny and Bryce play basketball lets you know that Michael Jordan was just a shitty dad.
Oh my god.
Hey. Yo, Michael Jordan might be the Endeavor in this, being like,
he's Goku.
I say the reason why I'm saying, I guess maybe both, but it's just like, when you look at that, it's just like Michael Jordan probably saw himself as like, he's not good enough. Yeah. I'm not putting my time into this. I don't got time
both of
this.
Them.
Yeah, he's like, he ain't got the will. He ain't got the killer instinct in him. I'm not investing my time into making this kid incredible like me. He ain't got it.
Michael Jordan, it's hard to be able to do that because it's like your kid's going to grow up a rich kid. Mm. Like, no matter what you do, your kid's going to grow up a rich kid.
He didn't get cut from the team, even though Jordan got cut from varsity as a freshman. That doesn't count.
Yeah, that's his whole story. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But point being is, like, you know, LeBron was like, nah, pick up the ball. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're playing. I'm playing you until you're good. Like, I'm going to teach you. Here's all my trainers. Here's everything.
And I don't
like,
necessarily think Jordan ever wanted his kids to be better than him. Yeah. I think Brown was just like, I want y'all to be better than me. I think Jordan's kind of just like, I want to see if you'll never be better than me. Go ahead and play basketball, but you'll never be better than me. I bet you that. He gambled too. Yeah. I bet you $1 million.
Yeah.
Stuff
like that, you got to take like the Ken Griffey Jr., I guess, or the third route, and just play another sport.
Yeah.
Like, he played football, and he was really good in football.
Yeah.
So it's just like, or like Richard Pryor's son, it's like, bro, don't do comedy. Like, go do something else. Like,
he wasn't comedy.
If I was Richard Pryor's son, I'd be on that stage. It's like, all of Bob Marley's kids are like, let me get this microphone.
I mean, Mason Pryor was doing comedy. We was out there with him for a second.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, if your parent is that famous at something, like, it's just like, why not? Like, people are going to listen to me.
Yeah.
No matter what I do, they're going to listen. They're going
to
pull up.
All right, let's jump into the next few questions and get up out of here. Next question. And I was trying to even how to word this correctly, because I feel like it's just different ways I kind of wanted to say it. But it was like, who has a better backstory, Prince Boji or Dobby? But it's just like, whose backstory is worse, too, I was thinking of? Or
whose is more interesting? How about that?
Okay, that's fair. Who has a more interesting backstory, Prince Boji or Dobby? I loved it. The way they did Dobby's story, I loved it. But I do think Prince Boji just went through so much. His whole life was fucked up, but he had no clue. Where at least Dobby was just like, all right, my life is messed up because my he's a bitch-ass motherfucker, and he's trash, and I got to get revenge. Prince Boji's just like, yo, this whole time. And he's like, this is what happened? Like, you essentially stole, like...
Your son's everything.
Everything from me to make it, to put it in, to get it back? I'm like, bro, I'm a foot and a half tall.
I'm a giant.
60 feet.
Yeah.
And you took this from me. Mm-hmm. And then him being deaf, him not being able to speak, him not having friends for a long time, him, like, his brother not really fucking with him, you know, his stepmom, I guess, fucking with him, kind of. Bro, not even getting able to see his mom because she pretty much died at birth. Like, that's dog. He had a jacked up story. And I remember watching that, when we were watching that show, and I felt for him so much. And that's why I stuck with that show so long. Because I was like, well, I want to see how this happens. And
I think Brendan said that because he watched it a little bit before. He's like, if you don't like Dobby, you're not a human being.
You mean
Boji? My bad. Yeah,
he said Boji.
Yeah. He's like, you don't like Boji, you're not a human being.
Yeah. So I would say his story is more interesting, but I mean, I like both. Rob.
Yeah, I'd agree. Boji. I mean, damn. Because that's what I think is interesting about what does make Boji more interesting is, I think he got screwed over worse, and he was a better person anyway.
Yeah.
He had all the reasons.
Fuck Dobby, man.
He
had a real villain origin story.
Because that's the other thing. Going back to your question, Ice, too, like, do I think he's justified? No, because it's a shitty thing to have done.
Yeah.
Like, you are doing shitty things to people that don't
necessarily
deserve
it. How many people died because of Dobby?
Right.
Yeah.
And Boji had every reason to get revenge on so many people, and at every chance to do so was just... tried to choose forgiveness.
Yeah.
So I think he got a way worse break than Dobby. He never had a chance.
And to be honest with you, that's kind of how it always goes, right? It's like when something really bad happens or something you see with your parents, you either go way left or way right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you said Boji went the way he was like, he probably should have actually been a villain. He should have been like, all right, I'm going to get better. I'm going to kill all of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's one of the situations I always say this, like, why don't you drink? Oh, because my parents are alcoholics. Oh, mm-hmm. why do you drink so much? Oh, because my parents are alcoholics.
Yep.
Like, yeah.
Mm. Yep. Brennan.
I don't even think it's close.
Yeah, like, it's not.
It's not. I mean, yeah. Prince Boji, man, that story hits your heart, man. Like, when you really think about what it is, it's just crazy. And Dobby is, you know, it's a sad story, but it's not, it doesn't really tug on your heartstrings. Like, the one thing that did not happen in this conversation, or nobody was like, man, I really feel Dobby, what he's doing.
Yeah.
Dobby is not relatable. You can understand Dobby, but you can't relate to Dobby because none of us, I believe nobody sitting at this table would have done what he's doing.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a very specific type of personality of, like, sociopathic type characteristics that allow for that level of obsession and also that level of, like, revenge without giving a fuck about, like, any kind of, like, what's it called? Collateral damage.
Yeah.
You know, so for me, it's not even close. But I still really like both stories.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that just Prince Boji just goes so much deeper and is so much more relatable.
Ice.
Yes, Boji by Mao. I think Dobby's story is kind of, I mean, no pun intended, but pun intended, self-inflicted. Like, it was, he did it to himself to a certain extent. And there was people around him that was like, hey, man, stop. And you don't stop, then that's just it.
And so. One big point is that, to me, it's obvious that Endeavor does love Dobby. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's the reason why it was so hard for him. Like, because he could have been like, no, push through it. Like, you deal with the pain. Let's go.
And that's what I thought was going to happen.
And it was really hard for him to stop training him. Like, it was like Endeavor was going through it because he couldn't train his son anymore.
Yeah. I mean, but just like you said, did he ever say it?
I would say probably.
So Pedro said, did he ever say it?
I mean, Endeavor,
you can
I don't know.
Show love with action, but if you don't tell it, kid might be like, you never told me you love me. That's all I wanted from you.
I mean, my dad never told me he loved me, and I knew I was loved.
I mean,
my dad wasn't big on that either.
Yeah,
that's you.
You felt it though. I felt it. I know my dad.
My dad pulled up to this I've never felt like my dad was like actually proud of me for anything I've ever accomplished in my life because my dad is like an antisocial person, and most of my skills come from being social. So me and my dad never got along on that same level. My dad pulled up to this studio that you guys know I fucking built. You know what I'm saying? Pulled up to this studio, walked around, and the only thing he said to me, which almost made me melt to the floor because I was so excited he said it, he's like, oh, this is pretty cool. Like, that's it. That's it. That's what I'm saying. Like, my dad doesn't do that. You know, he's not like, man, Brennan, you know what? You really did this. I'm really proud of you. But, like, the things I'm going to do for my son, I'm like, what? Yeah, you stood up today? You're amazing. You know, so it's just like, I mean, is your dad like that too, Amir? Is your mic on?
No. It depends.
Has your dad ever been like, you know what, Amir? I'm really proud of you for moving to California and working and doing all the things you're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, he has?
Yeah.
Man,
my dad does it now, but before too. My dad wasn't doing it. When I was growing up, I didn't.
You never got it.
And man, I think this hurting that.
I mean, that 11-year difference might be the difference, though.
Maybe so. Well, your dad did study psychology, too, didn't he?
Both of my parents, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess it makes more sense that he would understand the value of saying things like that. Yeah. My dad was a farmer turned engineer.
My dad, like, he cried at my high school graduation, my brother's high school graduation, graduation, like, all of that.
Only time I've ever seen my dad cry was at his mother's funeral, period.
I think the generations of dads telling their sons specifically that they love each other is now. Like me, Brennan, you guys, when you guys have kids, Amir, when he has kids, like, that's a very new thing. Even like our dad's dads probably got maybe two I love you their entire life.
Yeah.
And one was on their deathbed.
Yep. I mean, that's real shit.
And so I think I don't blame them for that because that's just what it was. Like, at no point in my life I didn't feel love, but I knew growing up, and I'm with Icy, and I'm like, I'm gonna tell we don't get off the phone without saying we love each other. And I think that's crucial because it does make a difference to the point that you would make it. Actually saying it is a big difference.
Yeah. All right, next question. What do you think the other Todoroki's siblings' powers are, Brennan?
This is a fun question, and I'll just say at the end of season 5, I got the sense that the second oldest son doesn't actually have any powers at all.
I can see that.
And the reason being is that he got captured and he didn't even attempt. He didn't do anything. He was literally just like, ah, help, you know? And if he could, he has the white hair, full white hair. So you'd imagine if he really did have that power, that if his mother's power, then he would just froze the motherfucker. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because Todoroki, half of his body, first of all, I think Todoroki has been, Shoto. I think Shoto has been nerfed. You know, if you look at Shoto for season 1, like, you remember, like, he beat all the other kids with just ice?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And how much the quantity of ice that he would like would come out of him immediately. Like, that doesn't happen anymore. But Stand By, like, all that aside, is that if that kid has his mom's power to put out that much ice, then he would have done it there. So I think he has no powers. And then his sister, I think she actually has ice powers. But there's something weird about her ice powers, because you see she has little flickers of flame mm-hmm. in her hair. Mm-hmm. So I would say that either she has like either the opposite of Toya, where she has ice powers but flame resistance, you know, kind of thing.
Interesting.
You know, or something along those lines, where she might have like super powerful ice stuff, but she can't really handle the power as well. It hurts her. So I would assume that that's what hers is. But I think she actually is probably one of the more, she might be like the second most powerful, you know, the second, or she might be able to rival Dobby's yeah. power with ice, is what I think.
Rob. I mean, I kind of, it's tough to argue that the second oldest brother has any kind of quirks, because you're right. Oh. If he had some, why wouldn't he have used it? I feel like for the sister, maybe to do something a little bit different, because I feel like she had them all over for dinner, right? I feel like her power is just like, I can make things, I can make water boil. You know what I mean? Like, I can just get things like a little hot.
Yeah.
Like, I can increase, like, I can make this glass of water hot. I can make...
You want some tea?
Yeah, I can make your tea the perfect temperature every time. Mm. But, like, it clearly wasn't the amount of power that Endeavor was hoping for with, you know, his offspring. But the idea that they would have all these kids and only one of them would have any sort of ice powers is kind of surprising.
Yes. Yeah. I do think somebody has an ice power, and I do think, but I think it's something kind of lame too, just like ice cubes, and it's just like literally like ice cubes coming out of your fucking like kind of come out of your freezer, slushy ice cubes, and it's like shit like
ping,
that
ping, 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 ping,
yeah, it's just like, yeah. Like boo, 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 and it's nothing. But but I do think I always felt like, you know, they can still, they, I wanted to see if like they can still be heroes and just, you know, I feel like with everybody you can find a way to master your power in a certain way to be super dope. I always felt like somebody, like you said, had an ice power, somebody had kind of like maybe a low flame power. Oh, he says he's the Jubilee with ice, pretty much. And yeah, somebody probably just has fireworks, like fireworks, gah! Yeah. But
that's like a weak Bakugo.
Do you know like what Dazzler? Do you know their powers?
It does say one of the what's the name?
It said, are you looking it up?
I did look one.
Oh, but you didn't know for what you've read so far.
No,
you haven't seen their powers.
No,
okay. Really? Hmm. So wait, they're getting ready to go as a group. Go fight Dobby, and you don't know.
I think some of their support is going to be emotional.
You said group? Yeah.
You got it.
You said go as a group to fight Dobby?
That's what I thought they were doing. That's what that seems like they're teaming up to do at the end of this episode.
Brennan, just get that out of your head. They're not going as a
group. Dobby would fucking
spoil. They're not going as a group to fight Dobby, bro. They're not doing it.
They did pictures of that. I understand where you're coming from.
They made it seem like that, don't they?
They did a little bit, yeah.
Maybe because I read into it, but like, yeah, he was smoked. Everybody out but Endeavor and Todoroki. But no. But I did read something.
What about Hawks and Best Genus?
Well, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the family. Yeah. Like his actual family.
Well, Hawks got some fucking... Hawks is going to be ready,
I love
ready to fight him.
Utilized.
He's like, you tried to kill me.
But I did I did see somebody's quirk, if you guys want me to say it.
I'm in. Do it.
Wait.
Ask Rob. Are you okay with it?
Yeah, sure.
Fuyumi, that sister.
The girl?
Yeah.
Yeah. She has ice powers. She does have ice powers. And it's so cold it can burn you.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I call that?
Yeah.
You kind of did. Yeah,
so
cool.
She could have probably actually been a dope-ass fucking hero.
I feel like both of them are dogs.
What about the old? Look up the older
I feel like
brother.
The oldest one, I think both of them are probably dogs.
The oldest Todoroki is him, right?
The second oldest. I feel like,
go ahead.
I feel like both of them are dogs. I feel like if anything, they just never got their powers cultivated, so they don't know how to use them, which means that they're scared to use them.
I can see that.
Because homegirl, her shit is probably dope, but nobody ever taught her how to control her ice. So she can't. She's scared to use it. But
and
I feel like
we see that how that works out now. Because like, yeah, you got people in the street using their quirks. Like I got quirks. I can defend my place or business or whatever. And it's like, shit is destruction's breaking out into the streets. People are getting look like killed.
And they might have been scared because of Dobby, or I guess Toya, because like, oh, he hurting himself. I'm not gonna do that same thing too.
Yeah.
And Dad's not giving a fuck. So we're just gonna be regular.
Yeah, I could see that.
So it says the third child Natsuli only has the ice quirk, just like Fuyumi. However, fourth child Todoroki has both. So it just says he has an ice quirk.
So both of them have ice?
Yeah. So, yeah, the second oldest and the third oldest have... Fuyumi is technically the second oldest. And
the daughter, right?
Yeah, and then he's the third oldest. But they're not saying... It says he has another ice quirk, but it's not saying if he how powerful it is.
Yeah, because I guess it is based on kind of their hair or whatever.
Yeah.
He's got full white hair.
But that's the thing. It's like, yeah, I feel like they're so wasted. And it's like if they went into it, and they're still kind of young, right? They're still what, like maybe 20-something years old at max, maybe?
Yeah, I get the impression. Like they seem like they got jobs.
They just say, I'm looking at it right now. It says he just has the straight up just his mom's quirk almost identically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it just says it's called Frost. And that's who inherited his mother's ability to generate ice.
And I think if you hold like, that
pictures in here that like, look like he kind of gets after it. I'll say that.
Okay.
And that's the thing. It's like, I feel like they could have honed their powers and got dope. Yeah, he don't like no hoe. Yeah, that could be done kind of dope. You know what I'm saying? If he honed it in the right way. All right, so let's get into the last question. Do you think public knowledge of One for All would help or hurt the heroes at this point? Rob, what do you think, man?
Yeah, I was thinking about this because, like, at this point, you know, obviously, like, I know that, when All Might told Deku about All for One or One for All, he was like, we have to keep this a secret. We don't want people to know. But, like, I wondered if the public knowing, like, oh, there's somebody else out there. Like, mm-hmm. All Might's gone. And so many people are just like, you know, because they keep replaying that moment where he's like, I'm here now. And now he's got the sign that's like, you're not here. Mm-hmm. And then Endeavor having, like, fallen from good grace. If, like, they were just like, listen, that power's out there. It rivals the bad guy. Like, we have our own side of this. Like, you know, you can root for us again. The one thing that makes me think it would be bad is what you definitely would still want to keep to yourself is how it's passed around. Because if it got out there that like, oh, you just need to give Deku a haircut and you can get, you know, One for All, that would be a problem. But you know, like I was kind of surprised, and maybe they will make an announcement, but it would certainly put a target on Deku's back. Maybe they keep it secret who it is, but they were just like, a successor for All Might is coming. Like, we have somebody picked. We've got somebody. He's training up. Like, we will get there. We are down, but we are not out. I feel like would be something that could potentially help the public at this point, who probably feels like we just watched every hero we have get smoked and All Might is gone for good.
Yeah, I'm trying to see how would that even matter, because it's like we just watched everybody get smoked down. It's like we got a successor, and it's like, well, was he in that battle? Because
is he there? Not officially. His name is not on the paperwork.
Yeah, not really.
Yeah, but if they would have saw the battle, they'd be like, oh, okay, we might be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I guess I'm with Rob. It's just like you don't want it. I don't think you want to tell anybody how it's transferred, because they're gonna be like, well, why did you give it to this kid? And I think, ooh, this might be a spoiler, so I can't say it.
Okay, don't say it.
All right. But yeah, I was wondering, like, even from like that's funny that you said, like, if it's like passed down like that, like Deku's getting all these haircuts, and what if a kid just randomly just eats the hair, like, oh, what is this? And it's like all of a sudden it's just like, what are these powers?
Wait a minute.
Why are people talking to me in my head and stuff like that? Yeah. But yeah, I'm with you. It's just like everything you said is correct, and in my opinion, and I think like just, you know, telling anybody about how this is ever passed along, never.
No.
Never.
That's a state secret.
Yeah, that's a state secret for life. I think that even, because none of the heroes know it, right?
No. None of them. Just Bakugo.
Yeah.
Shout out to Bakugo for keeping that secret. Because he could have been a whole ass
He got some loyalty to him.
Yeah, I mean, that's what All Might was talking about. Remember they were talking and like All Might was like, you actually don't hate him. You know what I'm saying? Like that moment where he's like, you don't hate him. Like, you actually are... he's on board for Deku.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. He's like, you're here for this because you realize he has what you don't.
Yeah,
you see it now.
Yeah,
yeah. And Bakugou's like, man, fuck you. But yes.
So yeah, what are you guys' answers to this, Ice?
I think that we're the greatest fucking anime podcast.
Did you have to yell it towards my ear.
Yeah, you know, in the entire world.
That was all in your ear. I get that. I get that. That was because I was wondering when it was coming too. Because I was like, he's stalling his ass on this one.
Yeah,
Brennan.
I agree with Rob. I mean, I can see it going either way. I think that the public knowing that All Might isn't truly dead, I think is a big deal.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Or the idea of All Might isn't truly gone. But on the other side of it, you know, then it raises so many more questions that could lead down this rabbit hole of a distraction for what really matters. And what really matters is like that is that we're have an all villain assault against everything that allows our order and our safety to be able to be maintained. And so I'd see it right now as being more of a distraction than I would be seeing as something that's positive. Because, for example, Endeavor technically didn't really do a lot of like a lot of the things that made that Dobby put out into the world to make him look the way he did. The heroes didn't really actually do that.
Yeah.
But because it's out there now, you know, one of the biggest things I've learned working where I work is the media doesn't decide what you think, but it does decide what you think about. Right. And so there's more distractions out there muddling the idea of what a hero is even more. Mm-hmm. I don't see it being a benefit. Now, maybe sometime in the future, maybe, but then the idea of like that it can be chosen to be passed down or how it gets passed down, I think that will become so controversial that'll be problematic. I don't think it's a good thing necessarily for the all for one or one for all to be known to the public, because then everybody's going to want the power, as has been shown in the show before.
Yes.
Not all bad guys are the ones who want power.
I think it's going to be, you got to watch out for the heroes.
Oh,
I think
for sure.
I think that's why, to me, the biggest reason why I shouldn't go out is because of the heroes. And they'd be like, oh, this little motherfucker, but I've been a hero for 20 years.
Yeah.
I put my life on the line. You give it to this little punk. I think that's keep your enemies close. You know,
that's, sure. why, that's why you would need Stain, baby. That's why if that happened, I would be rooting for the villains at that point, or like Stain and then be like, all right, get them up out of here, bro. They're they're not, they're really the villains in this sense.
Yeah.
In this sense.
I think that might even happen in the story. They get out and it's like all out. You know, you have some people turn on Deku.
Yeah, could be.
It's going to be crazy, man. It's going to be a crazy time. Mm. All right, so let's get into our likes and dislikes and our scores. I gave nothing away, trust me. Our likes, our scores, and the likes and dislikes of these last two episodes. Brennan, I know you'd be excited about it, so go ahead.
I mean, these last two, we have finally reached the actual, like, slowdown in the show. You know, it's like we needed it. We needed a breath. There needed to be time to really reflect on all the shit that's gone down. Mm-hmm. And I think they've done a pretty efficient way of getting through the Todoroki story. So I'm going to go ahead and say that I really enjoyed the backstory to give more sides to Endeavor. I never, starting the show, never would have thought we would get to know the number two hero on the level that we're getting to know him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is necessary for us to see the ascension of these students, is to understand where they came from. And so, like, seeing Shoto being able to come from this and what Shoto's going to be, I think Shoto's going to be the one that actually is going to be the one who really puts a solid endpoint on the Dobby story. Mm. He has to be the one. They even said it. They're like, you're our family's hero.
Yeah.
You know, so I think he has to step up into that lane and really do that. He has to be the real hero for his family so he can be the hero for everybody else. I think he's going to end up being the number two hero just like his father was.
He's probably not going to care as much to be number one.
No, I don't think he's never seemed to have really cared about that.
Right.
He doesn't seem outwardly competitive. He's just like, I'm doing this because I can.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I'll feel bad if I didn't. You know, he seems to have a really big heart. So what I didn't like, it wasn't much that I didn't like. For me, I felt like this was super necessary. If this is how the season started, I'd be pissed. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, this the kind of backstory. But I don't really have that much. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed the episodes. I wanted more action or whatever, but it doesn't need it. We've been giving an overdose of adrenaline and action thus far this season. And so the only reason that action felt so good is because there was so much backstory
right.
to it. There was so much context.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're getting more. Mm-hmm. So I'm all in. I'm going to say these two episodes, I'm at about a 7,900. I thoroughly enjoyed them, and I think that what we learned in these episodes is going to reverberate through the rest of the series as a whole.
All right, nice.
5,000.
I enjoyed it. I think it was necessary. I think this is my first time being caught up, so I saw all of this in a very, you know, over a week I saw this. I mean, I was really hype about Lemillion coming back. That was really cool. But he was really a kind of a non-factor. He was a factor, but a non-factor at the same time.
Lemillion! I fucking love Lemillion.
But I was super hype. Dobby's story was hype, but a certain trash in the visual kind of ruined that for me. Nobody here ruined that for me, his reveal. But I do think that this episode was necessary. This shit is sad, man. I even texted into our group chat of like, they even changed the intro to be sad.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck?
We're entering the dark ages.
That's the first time that I've seen an intro reflect the current state. And it's just because, you know, that's the running joke about animes. It's like all this dark shit happens. Then the intro comes. It's like, and it's like, nah, you about to feel it for the whole 23 minutes, motherfucker.
Yeah.
So I think for them to do that was a really great choice. And they wanted you to feel that. I skipped most of it because, like, right in the midst of watching it, Kenan was like, there's spoilers. So I skipped, you know, the back half of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that was a great mood choice. And I do think that these two episodes reflected that. I think it was backstory that we needed. I like how Endeavor's drawn. I like how, like, massive they make him.
Yeah,
yeah, it's like huge. I really think that's probably one of the coolest things in me, because it's like really reflects like how big he is in the sense of number one hero and all of that. And like this man of stature sitting in a bed crying is just
that
a crazy
me,
optic.
Yeah,
his crying hit me.
Yeah, and you felt it. And I think this, and I mean, granted, it took them 6 seasons to do it, but I think outside of maybe Vegeta, this is probably one of the greatest character changes and evolutions that I've seen in all of anime. So I think they did a phenomenal job. I'll tip my hats off to the My Hero writers before off of how they're making these random quirks be good, but I'm also tipping my hats off to them for what they've done with Endeavor. So for this stretch of these two episodes, granted it didn't have a lot of action, but I still enjoyed both of them, I'm gonna give it 7,000.
All right, Rob.
Yeah, hard to say that there's stuff that not to like. I don't have a whole lot to add on to it. I really enjoyed these episodes for a lot of the same reasons that were just laid out. Obviously, you know, you had to take a bit of a break, but even though there wasn't as much action here, I think a lot of the drama of these episodes hit really hard. Even just, you know, seeing Hawks' backstory and how that sort of, like, mirrored what Dobby went through in a lot of ways. And the fact that, we didn't really touch on this, but the fact that, like, Hawks kind of sees what Shoto's doing, and it's just like he's making the right choices that I didn't make, where he's pushing through the difficulty to continue to be with his family, where I saw my out and I took it, and now that's blowing back up in my face. And I think that shows a lot of Shoto's growth too, because he's also sitting there looking at what Dobby has done and is just like, man, like I could have been doing the same thing if I kept going down the road that I was going down, hating my dad and blaming him for all my problems. And so, yeah, no, it's not the, you know, the punch action stuff, but there's still a lot happening here that's been really interesting and emotional. And yeah, no, it's hard. So I've enjoyed it a lot. I don't really have any negatives. I'd give it an 8,000.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of mirror what you guys are saying. I agree for the most part. What I will say is that I liked how they showed Hawks' backstory and Dobby's backstory, and they both were fucked up, and they both went different paths.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Hawks had a story where he could have...
Endeavor, more justifiable.
Endeavor took his pops.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Essentially, I mean, it's kind of a good thing, but, like, you know, I think he still loved his dad at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he could have been like, you know what? Fuck all this. Like, I'm going to be evil. And he didn't. He went the good route. Whereas Dobby, whatever happens to him, happens, and then he becomes evil.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of interesting. I feel like that was kind of done on purpose to show you the two different backstories that are both bad, but they went different directions.
Yeah.
It's fucked up that the All Might dog costs more than an Endeavor dog.
Yeah. I mean, it should.
It should. That was funny. She's like, yeah, I can't afford the All Might one, so here, just do this fine. I was like, that was just a shot at Endeavor. You know, that was an unnecessary shot at Endeavor.
For damn sure was. But, like, I'm with Ice on that. Like, this is some of the best character development that I've seen in anime that I've seen. So I can't say it's the best ever out of everything, but I'm like, out of the stuff that I've seen, you know, you want to talk about, like, we hated this guy. We was like, this guy is one of the worst anime dads. He's still technically a bad anime dad, but he's trying his best to fucking redeem himself. He's doing a solid job.
He's on a journey of atonement.
He's always been on a journey of atonement. Yeah, the moment he always recognized his mistakes, he always was just like, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
And then he kind of shows you, and this is kind of a real life lesson. It's like, is there forgiveness and shit like this? Can you forgive, like, if you had a fucked up childhood? Like, I look at that from my childhood. Like, I had a messed up childhood. And I had some good things in there, but I had a dysfunctional family. Yeah. And I go, all right, can I look at my dad and my mom the same?
Yeah.
Can I still love them? And I go, okay, I can. Like, I can still, out of all the fucking stuff my mom and my dad did, I can still be like, yo, I still love these two people, you know, and I still care for them. And even though these things happened directly to me, I can still be like, all right, cool. You know, if anything ever, it was a point in time where I was like, yo, if anything ever happened to, like my dad at one point, I was just like, all right, nigga, peace. Like, if he was gone, I would be like, all right, he about here. That's how I felt at one point. Sure. Now I'll be terrified, you know, if something like that happens. So, you know, it's, you know, forgiveness is a thing, and it's like when it's your family and they're actually on a journey to try to seek forgiveness and do better as a person, you know, you kind of look at them in that way and be like, all right, humans make mistakes. We all make mistakes. This person just made them. And then you start to learn the path of this person. You're like, damn, it's like, I see why they did this shit we talked about earlier. It's just like, we see why our parents are kind of like, they probably didn't say I love you. Because, like, they never got that,
you know,
and we're taking the steps to do it differently. So, I mean, I enjoyed both of these backstories. They were really, really good. You know, my two favorite characters are literally Dobby and Shoto. And I enjoy both of them. I like Hawks a lot too. Hawks is dope.
Hawks is probably my favorite.
Yeah, I mean, I won't argue with that. He's dope as hell. So I mean, I enjoyed this. I'm gonna give these episodes a 7,800. These two. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I know people are like, you're all action. It's like, nah, you give me some good action. You give me some fire, like, you know, backstory and you know, world building, character building. I'm all in. Mm-hmm. I'm all in. But you got to give me that action a little bit.
A little bit, though.
Yeah, and I will say I've been getting a lot of DMs recently from people being like, hey, man, can we switch the genre up? Y'all keep doing action. It's very similar anime. It's always shonen. I'm just like, all right.
I don't want to.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it'll be tough because when we switched it up, it wasn't necessarily the...
Yeah, we didn't have a great time.
I was going to say...
And we gave y'all a vote for that, and y'all fucked us.
I want to see Rob watch Promised Neverland.
And it's short.
Yeah, I just say I want to see short. Him watch it. That's all.
We already reviewed it, didn't we?
Yeah, we did, but
it fucked me up. I just want you to get fucked up.
I listened to that episode, so I already know what happens.
Yeah, and I heard season two is just not...
I still want to see you go tomorrow. It's different than hearing him tell the story and be a part of it.
It might hit the same, because I think if he would have watched it, he would have been like, this is fucked up. But season two, I heard, wasn't that good either.
They didn't follow the manga.
Yeah, but you give us something on the lines of like, that's as good as Death Note written wise. I'll watch
Monster.
Yeah,
King Mike Hall. It's
I'm a stand
Blue
by.
Lock. It's funny. Yeah, Isaac actually started. I watched the first episode of Blue Lock. That's the soccer anime.
Blue Lock. Yeah, I was thinking about starting.
So you watching that? Who's watching on the animation account?
It wasn't me.
Yeah, somebody's watching the shit out of it.
Probably Icy.
Are you just giving out our shit to you?
No, because I logged into it on his stuff.
Oh, okay.
All right, he's like, here, son, just take this. I ain't paying for this shit anymore. You stopped paying for doing the Viz account, huh?
No, I got a new card.
Oh, because I was sitting there. I was like, man, I can't go back on the old villain saga. I was like, what the fuck is happening?
I'm going to fix it today. I got a new card.
I was like, he's like, you can only watch, look at the last three
man, it's $1.99. If I can't do that, we got to talk.
Have you guys watched the third episode of Vinland Saga?
I haven't watched it yet.
Episode 4 dropped today?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Omar?
Gabby, dude. Oh, really?
Yeah. Dude sucks.
I agree.
Dude sucks.
Sucks.
I'm probably watch that today.
I'm gonna watch the fourth episode.
I say if we don't do it because it's 37 episodes only on Netflix so far, but I would recommend y'all watch Monster.
Yeah, it's on
just
my list.
In my top five.
I would like to watch it for the show. Okay. If possible.
I'll be down for that. All right, you guys. So that is our episode for this week. Next week we'll be continuing on with Gurren Lagann again, episodes 7 and 8, and then the next two episodes of Vinland Saga, which will be 3 and 4. So you guys gotta drop your handles and stuff like that. Brennan's finally here. No
bitch ass, bitch ass producers, whole ass producers,
dope ass, cool ass. Brennan is actually here today.
Just gonna leave.
Got any?
You ain't got
anything.
All right.
No. All right. Follow Brennan on Instagram as bitch ass, hoe ass Brennan, since he ain't here.
Hoe ass, punk ass, fuck ass Brennan.
Ice rapper stuff.
Ice Dot McGowan on everything. Follow me on YouTube. I want to give a shout out to the guy next to me, Kenan Baker. We had a fabulous show this past Saturday with the Bonfire Stories.
Yes.
Tag team champs out here, baby. If you ever get a chance to in the LA area, every last Saturday of the month, pull up on us. We have a phenomenal show that's only going to keep getting better and better and better and better.
All right, Rob?
Yeah, so as I'm doing just like my recommendations, I would say if you haven't yet, check out Saga. It's one of the best ongoing comic books out there right now. They just got back from their hiatus a few months ago. They basically did their first 9 volumes, said that's our halfway mark. We're going to get our shit together and then try to push through these last 9. And so they took it was it, for those of us that were out there reading it live. It was a desert to get through because where volume 9 left off was crazy. But they are back. I literally just ordered volume 10 today. Really looking forward to getting into it. If you're into any of the stuff we've watched on the show, it's got action, it's got great characters, some character deaths that have made me feel like absolute, like, oh my God, that ripped my heart out is happened in Saga. Like nobody's safe. The story is great. And it's a really creative, imaginative world. Check out Saga.
I'm just gonna give a shout out to, Martian Blueberry. It's actually a black owned animation studio. It's an anime studio, actually. They did, I think, a couple of episodes. They probably did a few episodes of the Black Dynamite anime.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and I believe they did some stuff with, if you've seen Ice Spice, you know, the rapper or Ice Spice, she did like a little animation where she looked kind of dope. I think some animation. Yeah, and I think it's another one with, they did with, they did some, I think, some Boondocks, too. Some animation from Boondocks. And they did some stuff from, let me see, this might be their little list right
What's
here.
What's your name again?
Martian Blueberry. So Martian Blueberry, black owned. Yes, yeah, some good animation too. So make sure you just follow them, support them, because I think they're going to start getting on the road and start doing, like, they're telling people right now, what should they animate? You know, should they do some, you know, some Marvel stuff, some, you know, some DC stuff, some whatever comic books from other places. And I think he has a pretty strong name in the game because he's done already some other higher name ups. So yeah, follow them, Martian Blueberry, support them, another black owned anime studio. We appreciate that. And Kenan Baker on every single thing. Thank y'all for whoever came up for Bonfire Stories and telling you it's going to be the best story and the best show in LA. It already is in our opinion, but it will be proven for sure soon. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Animation. We out this bitch.
And so anime was solved forever.